Enhance. Enhance. Enhance.
Just print the damn thing!
Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it.
He'll keep calling me. He'll keep calling me until I come over. He'll make me feel guilty. This is ridiculous, okay? I'll go. Shit. God damn it!
Forget it. That's it.
Naga High Windpipe.
Too metal.
Oedipus and the Marmorish Boys.
Too college radio.
My Johnson is 12 inches long.
Interesting, but it doesn't sound like a band name.
I've got it. Everyone gets laid.
Katie, the womeness will be all over us without one. Ow.
Tonight at the pit, everyone gets laid.
That's tasteless, disgusting, and offensive. I like it.
Beware, Scott, when the moon is full.
Oh, no, not again.
It's a hairy situation.
I'll die if anyone sees me like this.
Hey, man, say, don't be shy if it happens to you.
Hi, Grandpa. Good morning, Scotty.
I'm being different.
Only my friends Booth and Styles know my hairy secret.
I'm feeling hairy, and my teeth are mean. I got a weird complexion, and I want to spank.
Teamwork coming out to play.
Teamwork coming out to play.
I'm a teamwork. I'm gonna howl today.
I'm sorry. I'm just... God, I'm so emo.
Are you?
It's only natural you'd be so Elmo.
Emo.
That's not a word, sweetie.
What's up, dirty dogs? Guess that's it for the old locker, huh? She stinks like ass, but I'll sure miss her. I guess you can say that about all my girls.
What the fuck?
To you, too.
What are you?
I'm a cop.
What are you, a local cop?
Grady had an opening, big deal.
Why are you wearing that uniform in my station?
Look who's talking, Denim Dan. You look like the president, chairman, and CEO of Levi Strauss. Where'd you get the Canadian tuxedo?
You're right us out to Grady.
I'm not even going to dignify myself with a response to that. Hey, I got no hard feelings. Nothing a few beers can't fix, right? Hey, how about one on me, Ramrod?
We should have taken him out the back and shot him a long time ago.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Fellas, we got to get him back. He's got to pay for this.
Yeah. Nobody wears that uniform in my
house. That's
right. Barber's going down.
Yeah,
right.
Take him out. Grady's going down.
Yeah,
all the fuckers are going down.
Yeah, go down.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, it must be Friday, Steven.
Is it?
It's time for Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television. Hey, that was well timed there, Foggy. Film, television, pop culture. We do a live show every Friday, and we're talking about those things. Our favorite subjects, I'm pretty sure. I'm sure there are a few others we leave out, but, you know, we'll get to them.
Yeah. We can't cover everything.
So what would you say? This, you know, it's kind of shaky ground. Could you really call this internet radio? Like, when you hear the word radio, does that infer it's broadcast via an antenna? Or could it just be taken as it's broadcast from somewhere on the internet and it comes out as sound and you listen to it? Am I overthinking this, guys?
Yes.
So we're the live internet radio program.
Program.
And I'd like to welcome you all, Steven, the pop culture zealot.
Thank you, sir.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm good.
Awesome. We also have Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How you doing, Bill?
Greetings, programs.
Guys, we got a lot of finales to talk about. Can you believe this crap?
Well, I got my nap on the plane, so I'm good.
We have five finales to talk about, I believe. 24, they decided to screw us up and have their finale this coming Monday. If they could have just timed it, we could have had all finales. Bastards.
24 always has to be different.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about 24 in a bit, by the way. I have a few things to talk about real quick. Bill, you know, you and I have been talking about the Enhanced podcast for a while. You got the software called Chapter Master.
Chapter Master!
Yeah, it's kind of like Master Blaster. You did an example and you sent it to me where you could chapter skip. Like, we could go from the intro, skip over the intro, don't want to listen to that. Listen to the opener, skip right to entertainment, skip to the news, skip to Lost Talk or whatever. And, you know, I did one. This week, I did our last episode, actually. I kind of messed around with it and figured it out. You can put pictures for each chapter, you know, Bill? Like, I could put, like, the Lost logo during the Lost Talk or whatever. It's just kind of like, it's kind of nifty or whatever. But also, at the same time, I really hate the idea. Because I hate the idea of people skipping over stuff. But
I know.
Well,
realistically, I know there are people who don't give a rip about Celebrity Apprentice. They don't give a rip about Hell's Kitchen. Or they hate Fringe. They just want to hear us talk about 24. Or they just want to hear about Smallville.
Or they just may want to, if we do a little tiny spoiler, they want to skip over it.
Right, maybe that. Or
they haven't seen the show yet.
They hate the long intros or something. My only problem with that is that a lot of times the intro will have some content in it that will be played throughout the show. Am I right?
Exactly.
You know, for instance, Cameron from Ferris Bueller. Love that. But if you skipped over the intro, you're like, where the hell did that come from? Why is he talking about Ferris Bueller Day Off? Because
it's
asshole,
all relative.
It was in the intro and you skipped over it.
Wow.
Oh, sorry.
Angry.
Oh, I'm taking offense to it. I'm sorry. But you know, you just need to go and listen to the intro.
This is ridiculous, okay? I'll go.
Yes,
I'll go.
I'll listen.
You know, when I was doing this, I was like, this sounds just like me when my wife forces me to go to some kind of family type deal. Like, we're going to go to so-and-so's church, and it'll be real nice. And I'm like, oh, I'll be waiting in the car, okay? Yeah. The car's warming up! I'm just so frustrated. I'm not going, Heather. I'm not going.
This is ridiculous. Okay, I'll go.
Okay, I'll go. I'm exactly like that. Just like, fine, I'll go. All right. No, you don't have to go, but we'd really like you to. You know, it's just like that back and forth.
Oh, don't you love that? That's the absolute worst whenever they give you the, oh, you don't have to go, but we would like it if you went.
It's like, Steven, you don't have to do the show next week, but you know, I'd really like you to, but I understand you got other things to do. You know, it's just like, you can go ahead and do that, but I want you to feel really guilty. I want you to feel really guilty about your decision.
I'm going to go back out to my car and I'm going to call in sick.
But for instance, say you skipped over the intro, you would not have any idea about that.
We should have taken him out the back and shot him a long time ago.
But why is that being played? I don't know.
Now, is the Teen Wolf cartoon going to be used at some point in the show?
Dude, when I was a kid, man, I would sing that. I thought it was great. How you go,
But you know what's so shocking about it is it just so it blatantly sounds like Weird Science.
Yeah,
like, it's like they don't even try to make it sound like something else.
What I think it's also cool is it's not only a theme song, but the main character narrates during the song. My friends Boof and Styles are the only ones who know my hairy secret. Like, well, during it's just the song. Like,
that's the sign of an excellent 80s cartoon, because, you know, like Turbo Teen had that where the whole thing is narrated over the song.
Right. It's genius, man. I want to see all TV shows go back to that. That's one of the best cartoon theme songs, I think.
Definitely.
Oh, hey, Bill.
My Johnson is 12 inches long.
Wow. Good for you.
It's like, what?
Good on you. Don't go hurting anybody with that.
Interesting, but...
Right. So, okay, the Enhanced podcast, here's what I'm going to do. Also, I just want everyone to know, if they really want to hear the Enhanced version of Nowhere Mulberry, it's a huge pain in the ass to create it. It doesn't. It's not like a real fast thing. Okay, let me get a chapter here, let me add these pictures, whatever. It takes a while, okay? And, you know, I don't mind doing that because I think it's kind of neat myself. But I can't put it on our normal host site. I got to use a different host. So basically what I'm saying, if you want to listen to the enhanced version of the show and we start doing that, it probably won't come out the same day as the show does regular. It'll come out like a couple of days later because that's a lot of work, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, how many people really – you can only listen to them on iPods, right?
Yeah.
Other things don't do the enhanced
podcast. You can listen to it on your computer with
Yeah, QuickTime.
Yeah, QuickTime or iTunes or, you know, I don't know. Do any MP3 players that aren't iPods play MP4?
We need to ask Mr. Owl.
Yeah, we really do.
Sorry. Wow.
Ask Jeeves? I don't know. Who's Mr. Owl, Bill?
The Tootsie Roll commercial.
How many likes, yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't get that. That just really frustrates me. I just got like, he's going to ruin his engine doing that, isn't he? It's awesome. Okay, whatever.
Badass car.
That's it.
Okay, I also wanted to say that at the same time I should have been working on the show, I don't know where this came from, Bill, but, you know, I mentioned last week that I joined Facebook, right?
Yes.
Well, yesterday I'm supposed to be doing the intro, and I'm like, I'm going to create one of those Facebook apps that fictional items from movies and TV things. Did you like that, Steven?
Yeah.
I like sat there and like I was thinking of each thing, like writing it down. Okay. And I'll find a picture of it here. And I like created it like an hour. And I was like, why the hell did I mess around with this?
Yeah. So you had to go like on Google Images and find the pictures of the stuff, right?
Right. Yeah.
That's like what I thought.
The Shankara stones, the Kroll blade, and my favorite one, the one I'm proud of, is the Time Bandits map. Come on, that's pretty cool, you know?
That is.
So what you could do on Facebook is, I think it's called Fictional Items. Like, I could give Steven, I could give you a proton pack. I believe I gave you and Bill a Tron identity disc.
Yeah.
And you guys gave me something back. You gave me a Blade Runner gun.
I gave you the Blade Runner gun, you and Bill.
What did I give you back? I can't remember. Oh, I gave the oscillating overthruster.
Yes, I thought that was so cool. I love those type of things in movies, you know, because I also threw the rabbit's foot in there for Mission Impossible 3. What the hell? Just any kind of, like, object like that. And I started forgetting, so I was like, oh, shit, I'll just throw in, like, guns from movies and stuff.
But you can always update it, right? You don't have
right.
to.
At first, I thought I was screwed because I put in the Hellraiser puzzle box.
Right.
And I also put in the Evil Dead Book of the Dead. And when I looked when I was done, I used the puzzle box picture for both of them. And I was like, shit, I screwed it up.
Oh, damn.
But then I found the editing thing and I fixed it. So I was happy. So we got to keep that going. I even put on the page to suggest new items because I was trying to think of them. It was just kind of a stupid thing, but it was fun doing it.
Yeah, you need the Goonies map.
I put the Goonies DeBloom in there.
Yeah, okay, the DeBloom. Yeah. And the one-eyed Willie DeBloom.
Yeah, I was just thinking of things like that. You know, I put the briefcase in Pulp Fiction. You know, just you know, little things like that. But that's a lot of fun.
Oh, and I want to remind everybody listening on Ustream that we are in Nimchat, nimchat.com, because we have, it looks like half the people listening are in the chat room.
Oh, nice. Are you also on Ustream where you can see if people are in the Ustream chat?
No, I just have the nimchat.com open.
Oh, okay. But that's cool.
Because you can never, you know, in Ustream you have to register and all that for your name. And
oh, you have to do that even to chat?
Yeah.
I guess I can understand why places like that want to do that, like Now Live. But honestly, we just want people to be able to chat with us and not have to, like, you know, register and crap like
that. Yeah, because otherwise it says Ustreamer and gives you a number.
Nice. I also want to say I'm really excited. Tomorrow night, one of my favorite bands, and this is a band, Bill, I discovered on Last FM. I don't know if it was last year. When the hell was that Last FM crap
last
where
year.
I was losing? Yeah. I was like, guys, Last FM. It's like, Jason, shut up, please. And I was like, no. But I'm really excited. The Deers are here tomorrow. And we're going to go see him. Steven, you're going, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. I'm really excited.
That was a rather non-committal yeah.
Yeah, we're going.
It's like,
Steven, you're going to bail
it's
out
like,
on
it's
me.
Like, it's like that in between yeah and nah. Yeah, like,
Interesting,
yeah.
But...
No, I'll go. I mean, I like the band. I mean, they sound...
What are you talking about, man?
Sounding band.
They're
I'm
awesome.
Not as excited as Jason.
Now, when we went to see Morrissey, you know a few of those. I knew a few of those iconic Morrissey songs. The rest of the songs, I was just kind of standing there going, "Okay, it's got a beat." But this band, I'm going to see a band where I know all the music, so I'm going to be dancing, Steven. I'm going to be doing the robot. It's going to be awesome, and you're going to wish that you didn't come. Right?
I'll be in the back doing the.
Steven's going to be the one wearing the flat cap in the back.
No flat caps.
No flat caps allowed. Yeah.
I can't wear one of those.
God, I'm so emo.
My head repels those.
I'm going to be totally emo tomorrow night, Steven. I'm going to paint my
face. Make sure you put, like, eyeliner on and
yeah.
Black nail polish.
It's only natural you'd be so Elmo.
Yeah, I'm going to be Elmo tomorrow.
paint his face orange.
That's so silly. Now, guys, I want to get right into entertainment because we have a lot to talk about. Let's do it, okay?
Let's go.
Let's do this thing. Now, it's been a whole week, I believe, since we've seen Star Trek. And, you know, everyone else has seen it, and it was really exciting. And then, you know, you start going through finales. You know, I'm watching The Lost and all that, so you kind of forget. But I really enjoyed Star Trek. How did you guys feel about it? Do you guys remember?
You know, I when I first walked out, I was like, that was awesome. But then when I started thinking about it, it died down a little bit. I enjoyed the hell out of it. But it just kind of lacked any... real.
Would you say your enthusiasm waned?
Yes, my enthusiasm waned.
Waned.
It just kind of lacked any real heart, you know, any gravitas in the words of Kiefer Sutherland.
I think there were moments of heart in it, definitely, but I understand.
Oh,
what
yeah,
you mean.
It opened with a lot of heart. I thought that was great.
Yeah, I love that, the whole thing with Kirk's dad. I thought that was fantastic. I'm going to say this. I thought the cast was great. I really did. I'm going to say this, though. Kirk, I wasn't won over right away by Kirk. I'm not even.
No.
I kind of thought he was kind of Stifler-ish from American Pie in a way. Like, he's like, dude.
A little too cocky.
Captain Kirk is like Stifler. Yeah, he's kind of cocky.
Just the, yeah, exactly. You know, the whole slave girl thing and then always hitting on Uhura.
Yeah, he's kind of a douche, you know?
Yeah, he's
But then he won me over time. I grew to like him. And I definitely loved the introduction of Scotty, Simon Pegg. Loved that.
Yeah, that was great. I wish they had brought him in sooner.
And the weird creature.
The little creature, the little green guy.
He's always like, get off of there. He's always sitting in the wrong spot. But also, I love Bones. I thought he was great. And Carl Urban, has that guy been underutilized in film?
Oh, yeah.
This is the first time I've seen him acting. Before, he's just kind of the stoic, tough guy, isn't he?
Like, yeah, Chronicles of Riddick, Doom, what else?
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, he's never really used that well.
Pathfinder. But in this, he's doing he's doing Bones, and he's doing a cool character. I really like seeing him like that. That was cool.
Yeah, it was great.
I love this.
And I like the getting his nickname in Bones.
Yeah. Oh, and I love the action scenes. I thought the action was great. The whole sword fight thing, and also the
being chased on the ice planet.
Yeah, the creature in there. And, you know, Bill, you and I were talking about this earlier this week. I was like, that creature, there's something familiar about it. Then I read the guy who designed the Cloverfield creature also did that. And I was like, oh, that's what it is. Cause
I think they used an early design.
When he's like going, and the spit's going everywhere. I love that. But
well, yeah. I like when he's being chased by the saber-tooth tiger thing.
Yeah. Then the thing bursts out.
The thing bursts through the...
Now, I got to tell you that I really love the part where Spock and Kirk get beamed to the enemy ship. And Scotty's like, I'm beaming to the cargo area. There won't be anyone around or something like that. And, of course, there's enemies there. And they start a cool phaser shootout. And how often in Star Trek do you really see an exciting shootout, really?
No, it's all, yeah.
The phasers.
I think that was probably one of the better phaser shootouts.
Yeah, because the guns seemed lethal. You know, you get shot, you're dead. That was really cool. I really dug that. Now, the thing was that I think that the movie did wrap up pretty fast, didn't it?
Yeah, it went very, very fast.
They beamed aboard the ship, and then, you know, they got into a little fight there, and, you know, Spock stole that vehicle from the future, from other Spock or whatever.
The jellyfish.
Yeah, I thought that was a cool-looking ship, how that spun around and everything. But I almost felt like they got Nero, who was in this huge, gigantic, futuristic mining ship. All of a sudden, the threat kind of diminished really fast, I felt like.
Mm-hmm.
But
And that's the other thing is, if they would have added the backstory with Nero, I think it would have made the film better, because they did that whole series of comics, the Star Trek Countdown comics, where it explains what went on before the movie, like the whole thing that Spock screwed up with the black hole and Romulus and all that, that was explained in the comics, but not, you know, laid out story-wise in the film.
Right. I really thought the effects were top-notch, too. The music. I was really pleased with it. And the one thing, when you go away, when it's over, I'm really excited for another Star Trek. I really think they set up the franchise well with the new cast and everything. And I think it'll be cool. Hopefully.
Yeah.
You always wonder with something like this. Remember, like, when Bryan Singer did X-Men, you wonder, will the director get bored and leave and somebody else takes over? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
How often does that happen?
Well, most likely it'll happen. Because, you know, J.J. will probably do another one or two episodes. You know.
He'll produce and let somebody else direct.
Because I wonder, like, Sam Raimi on Spider-Man. Apparently, he doesn't want anyone else to do Spider-Man, is what it sounds like. But at first, I wondered how many he was going to do, like, before somebody else took over. That's what really blows about X-Men, you know, or you could say even Wolverine, is that Bryan Singer, once he left, they were screwed, weren't they? And I wonder that about Star Trek. But that's silly to wonder.
I think it had more to do with the guys that were writing them than it did Bryan Singer.
Right. Well, yeah, because, you know, I've heard interviews with David Hayter, who he's such a hater. No, who's a Solid Snake. He's also a screenwriter. He left because of the way they were being treated and everything. He went with Bryan Singer to do Superman. So, yeah.
Wow, that didn't go very well.
I think they tried their best. I'll never
forget sitting in the theater watching Superman Returns, just bored out of my skull.
You know, it's funny because when you watch a movie like that, Superman, as an adult, but you also think that little kids, when you were 10, you saw the first Superman, you picture, look at that little 10-year-old boy who's in there watching The Return of Superman, and you're like, that poor kid is bored out of his freaking skull, you know?
Yeah, if I was that young seeing that movie, I would have probably been under the seat picking gum off the floor by halfway.
He's turning to his mom and like, a land grab? Really, Mom? This is so lame. Is that what Lex is doing again?
Again.
Star Trek, I think, is a winner. It was awesome. All that kind of stuff. I mean, I thought it was good stuff.
It was really very entertaining.
But, I'm a real big thing about a climax to a movie, and I thought it kind of went kind of like, kind of lower or whatever. You know what I mean?
There once the mine drill was negated, it was like, oh.
And that was cool.
Okay.
The effects and all that. And I also liked the part where he's like, you know, we should offer him surrender or whatever. It's the logical thing to do. And Spock's like, not this time. And he's like, hey, Nero, would you like to come aboard the ship, surrender? And he's like, I would never do that or accept any of your help. And he's like, fine. And so they shoot him and stuff. And I thought that was all cool. But it just seemed like Nero went from badass bad guy to, not that really dangerous anymore.
And you got to think about the fact that the guys that beat Nero were all just a bunch of trainee cadets. And then all of a sudden, after that, they're at their award ceremony, and they're captains and commanders.
What did you think about this?
How the hell did that go from trainee to captain?
I love seeing future Spock, but also the fact that J.J. Abrams, and here's the writers from Fringe, right, who also did Alias. Okay, we're getting more time travel. Is J.J. Abrams obsessed with time travel? I'm just wondering. Time travel, alternate timelines, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just going to say J.J. Abrams is a little obsessed with that. What do you think, Bill?
Yeah, they probably need to dial back on the time travel stuff. I mean, it was a useful tool in this one because they could create an entire new storyline, a new universe.
J.J. Abrams or whatever, Lost or whatever, they handle it so much better than, say, a different show. You know who I'm talking about? Heroes.
What?
Heroes with the time travel were just a jumbled mess. We've hurt Heroes enough. All right. We can't talk about Heroes anymore. But also Terminator next week. I'll definitely be going to see that. I don't know what to think yet.
That's one of those ones that I'm going to go into kind of, is this going to be McGee'd?
One thing, my biggest nightmare would be this, Bill. Crispin Glover. As a thin cyborg man, like
with a cane,
he's got a cane. Like all of a sudden, it's like, what the hell?
And he starts dancing around and swinging the cane.
You're unbelievable, man. You're unfucking believable.
He rips out Christian Bale's hair and sniffs it,
and then screams.
Yeah,
I want to fucking kick your fucking ass.
Oh,
dude, we respect you.
You're an artiste, but you know. I'm going to sit back and let Terminator Salvation come to me, okay? And another thing is they've bought ad time for different shows or, like, Lost or whatever. If you're going to buy ad time, show me a new trailer. Don't show me the same friggin' trailer I've been seeing
for the last three
months or something.
Yeah, I watched the 4-minute preview on Apple's site, and it kind of diminished the excitement for me.
What the fuck are you doing?
Like, it was just filled with so many trailer moments.
I saw a trailer before Star Trek for the new Transformers.
Yeah.
And there's a slow-mo scene. Like, you know how Michael Bay loves to do the 360 degree? The camera is going around the character as they're lifting up their head in slow-mo to look up. And it was like, it was Megan Fox. Megan Fox is kind of like, her head's tilted down and she's lifting it up and there's a tear coming out of her eye. The camera's spinning around. And I was just like, I hate you, Michael Bay. I am so sick of that stupid shot in your films and kids running in slow-mo holding like a space shuttle and the American flag billowing in the background. God, I'm so sick of that bullshit. Jesus.
There's a scene in the trailer where there's an American flag on top of like the Brooklyn Bridge or something, and
that's billowing.
Yeah, and I'm just like, oh yeah, this is a Michael Bay movie.
And they're supposed to be like Transformers, and then they show this quick clip of robots like rolling around and shit, where you can't even tell what's going on, and it's tells you the release date. It's like, what the hell did I just see? It's like Transformers.
You finished seeing an unfinished trailer.
They're talking about it in the chat room, but did you see the trailer for G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra?
Yes.
Oh, my God. That looks just about the worst movie I can possibly imagine.
I turned to Steve and I go, is this going to have more CGI than Van Helsing?
I thought the exact same thing. when they whipped out those suits, I was like, oh, shit.
They're going to ask the director, so should we do this practical? Nah, dude, CGI, everything. I'm not even showing up on the set. We're just going to do it all in the computer, okay?
We got four live scenes we're shooting.
And as soon as I saw a Wayans brother guy.
Oh, yeah. Which one's that? Marlon?
Yeah. Okay. What? Whose idea is it? Let's get a Wayans brother in this. Box office.
He's
success.
A tough guy.
Yeah, he's the
whose
tough
one. Genius idea was it to make, like, super suits? Like, yeah. Honestly, this is about the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
CGI super suits.
Yeah.
How sick have you ever seen a movie?
Can jump through bus windows.
I'm going to hit a fake button on my wrist that'll create a CGI helmet over my head.
And what? It'll help me jump 14 stories.
Do you guys remember how...
Run a fireball.
Do you guys remember how gay it was in Lost in Space when Matt LeBlanc from Friends had that stupid CGI helmet that goes over his head?
Oh,
he's like,
man.
Don't worry, I'll save everybody. He hits a button and this... And he's got like a sniper scope for these horrible CGI spiders. That's bad. But are you guys going to go CGI Joe though?
No. No, I'm this not even going to bother because I'll go. It's one of those things where, you know, I wasn't that big into G.I. Joe as a kid, but I knew every character there was. You know, my friends had all the toys, and each character had their own thing. And with this, with these accelerator suits or whatever, you can't even tell who's who.
Honestly, if they're making a G.I. Joe movie, it's for the kids in the 80s who loved the cartoon series or the toys, right? The toy line.
Yeah.
And those
and
people are grown up.
They're basically pissing on us.
So I'm saying this, do a G.I. Joe movie rated R for those kids that are now adults, right?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
I totally agree with that.
See, I
want one where like the Baroness
G.I. Joe gets... doll with the kung fu grip and
right,
everything.
The older ones that were the
burr haircut and...
Yeah, and then they did in the '80s. But also, you know, I gotta mention that Terminator Salvation is also PG-13, isn't it?
Yeah, but what was with all the stuff where before they even announced that it was supposed to be R-rated, and there was all kinds of language and nudity and everything. And now it's like, oh, actually, no, it's PG-13.
I think that was bullshit, basically.
Yeah.
They wanted people to have a positive buzz about it for a week on the internet or something. Ugh. Oh, Cameron's upset over there. I feel the same way, Cameron. Now, what do you guys say we talk about what's on our TiVos? All these finales, let's get to it.
God damn it!
Oh. All right, guys, let's start off right away with Celebrity Apprentice. We know it's Joan versus Annie in the boardroom. And let's talk about their task real quick, which was... A silent auction with celebrities, and you also had to plug Kodak and their Kodak digital frame. And you know what's funny is that was Mother's Day last Sunday. Yes. Saturday, I almost bought my wife one of those Kodak frames.
You know better. You already have a Kodak printer and a Kodak camera, and you hate the software.
The software's so slow.
Could you even imagine how bad the software is for the frame?
If I click the icon for the Kodak Easy Share, it takes, I swear to God, it takes like 10 minutes for it to finally open. And you just see the little thing moving, like it's processing. And I read online. I want to know if there's something wrong with my software. Everybody complains about it. This is the worst software I've ever seen. It's so slow. Everybody complains about it. It's horrible software. So it probably takes, I'm not kidding, probably takes like 5 hours to get a single picture on that frame. To get a Clint Black talking on it. But,
hi, I'm Clint Black. You are bidding on.
Yeah, that was so bad. Remember,
he's always got to put himself in the middle of everything.
Joan Rivers is walking. She goes, why are there all these Clint? And there's a Clint head in every single one. He's like, he would pick up himself at a bar, at a singles bar. I swear to God. Now, the whole thing starts off with them picking teams. And I thought it was actually funny that Joan decided she wasn't going to pick Melissa first. That was an obvious clue. And the fact that Annie won the first pick, didn't matter because you knew she was going to pick Brandy. And Joan
her henchman.
Joan was never going to pick Brandy anyway. But it's funny that Annie wound up with Dennis Rodman and Tom Green.
Oh, my God. I know. That was a kiss of death.
That was so funny. And I have a clip here, and it's basically when they realize that Annie's never going to ask them to really do anything, and they're kind of just goofing off in the background. I thought that was hilarious. Let's go ahead and check this out.
About doing one of those ice slides.
Mm-hmm. Oh, an ice sculpture? That would be pretty.
No, but what I'm thinking
of. Let us know what we can have.
It's good at getting angry at people.
What, dude? She's tripping, man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, why are we here? He's one of my neighbors.
Want to go out and make some suggestions?
No.
It's funny to watch her not listen to them.
Oh, well.
Let's go here.
You go ahead.
Annie chooses to do a lot of stuff herself because she thinks no one can do a better job than her. I think there's a way to manage a group of people, especially when you're managing creative people. I think there's a way of doing it positively, and that'll encourage people to be more productive, and it'll be better overall for the team.
Now, coming down from the ceiling, hanging from invisible wire.
How are we going to find the invisible wire? How do you find it, though?
The graphics people.
How do they find it? It's invisible.
Didn't you love Annie's face?
I love how much of a smartass he is.
You know, he was like the wisecrack comedian. I was just more like the side kid. It was just funny because we look at it as, well, they can't do anything to us.
She's speaking English.
Hello?
Yes, Annie, we're standing right behind you, so we need to, you know, put out information. Can we help?
Oh, by the way.
Can I call you back in like 2 seconds?
I got to say this. How awkward is it that an audience is watching this projected? For 3 hours, they're sitting there watching the episode.
I think the entire season should have an audience.
And Trump, Ivanka, and Donald Jr. are sitting in a friggin' fake boardroom below the screen. Are they just sitting there the whole time looking forward at the audience looking at them? I don't know. And then, you know, between each commercial, we'll be right back on The Apprentice finale.
They're going to have one of those big... little turntables at the desk is sitting on so it turns.
I cracked up when it first opened when he was in the museum. He's like, we have Annie, a poker player. She's a real shark. And then he showed a shark. And then we have Joan Rivers. And they when he
she's
said,
a real clown.
You remember what they said?
No. She's real old.
When he said, and we have Joan Rivers, they cut to dinosaur bones. Remember the fossils like a T-Rex? And I was like, well, that was kind of mean, wasn't it? And he was loud talking. Basically what happens is Joan, she has this guy who's going to design her Kodak thing. She doesn't really like his ideas.
You implying that he's a homosexual?
No!
Never.
But he ends up quitting because she says she's going to bring in a friend of hers to work with him. And the guy is totally offended.
Yeah, like, I am so much better than that, baby.
So basically what happens is Annie finds out that first nobody's answering her phone calls at this place. So she goes up there and the person's like, turn the camera off. What was that about?
That was great because she just looked like a deer in the headlights. Like, wait, what? Did I miss something?
Yeah, let's check this out.
Them and this event company.
They have now quit.
So because they pissed off them, now they won't work with us?
Correct.
This is really f***ed up.
Apparently, the designer who was assigned to Joan, David, the owner of the firm, Joan Rivers, offended him so much that he doesn't want anything to do with Celebrity
offended.
Apprentice.
That's not even fair.
Of course it's not.
Yes.
That's not fair.
When I walked out of the office, I was
I'm
like,
a very good designer.
I have nothing. I've got a raw space. It's like, looks like a gymnasium.
I love when she goes on her
Joan
kick.
Rivers pissed the event planners off so much that the event planners quit at 5
she's on the
PM
phone
on
with like 20
night,
people.
And I have an event to put on at 4:30 in the afternoon tomorrow. So I am desperately calling people who I know who might be able to help me get this space in order for tomorrow because I am Joan Rivers doesn't have any idea about how to treat another human being that I became such collateral damage in the process. Is there any way you can come by and I can show you the space and you can see if there's any help you can give me in terms of
vendors
or anything?
That's our live audience.
It was a war before this happened. Now I am going to crush her like nothing you've ever seen.
Whoa, I can't
crush her
like
those old dinosaur bones.
Joan Rivers pissed the event planners off so much on her side of the room that they quit on me after 5 o'clock, and I have a raw space and an auction to put on at 4:30 tomorrow.
What if she has a raw space?
Joan Rivers made the event planner quit. Joan Rivers, who has been despicable to me, Joan Rivers pissed the event planner off on the other side of the aisle.
Joan Rivers pissed them off so much.
Because Joan Rivers is a despicable human being.
I don't know, but...
Without Joan Rivers, she wouldn't have anything to say.
I'm going
to
say one of the best moments in the entire show was Annie's van ride with Tom Green. Wasn't that awesome?
Oh, yeah, that was hilarious.
Because he wasn't having any of her shit. It pissed her off so much. I love
it. She's bitching and bitching and bitching. He's like, it was a joke.
It's all a joke. Let's check this out, because I got to say, through this whole thing, I was laughing my ass off. From Tom Green to Dennis Rodman to this scene... let's check this out.
Let me explain something, Tom. I have incredible respect for someone who's lasted in the business as long as Joan has.
Not just lasted, dominated.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
She's done. She is an amazing lady, but yeah. She's not a nice lady.
Oh, I think she's just joking around.
You haven't been here since week 3. You don't know what she has done.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have been maligned, and my character has been assassinated.
Oh, my gosh.
Every week.
Yeah.
And she started attacking me in the most personal... uncalled for a way
really?
To where... Oh,
what'd she say?
She said that I was worse than Hitler and that I...
That's not personal. It's a joke.
No, she said that I was a despicable human being. It went on and on and on, and it was every week in the boardroom.
Joan Rivers is like a legend of comedy, though, you know? I mean, that's a badge of honor to get dissed by Joan Rivers.
No. What she did yesterday, you should have heard those designers talking about her.
No. You don't understand.
Really got under your skin.
That, you know what? Why?
All you do is talk about Joan.
Do you know why?
Because all you do is talk about her.
You want to know something,
Got under your skin.
Got it, just get it. And then there's just a dead stare at him.
I would not want to be anywhere around her.
Okay.
Scares me.
Do you remember they're sitting around the table? Joan is thinking, we got to have celebrities. And Herschel Walker out of nowhere goes, impersonators. first of all, do you think for a minute he was talking about those kind of impersonators? Was he talking about drag queens?
No.
I don't think so. He was talking about, like, Charlie Chaplin or some shit like that. I don't know. He was talking
about... Who knows what's going on in Herschel Walker's
head? He said, get a Donald impersonator. But Joan called her drag queen friends, and this is the scariest moment of television I've seen in a long time, okay? And it is... They decided to interview a room of drag queens putting their makeup up on. Oh,
because they all like Joan so much.
And the best
it's
part
like
of all
of
this...
Harvey Fiersteins.
After they're done talking, it cuts back to Donald and he goes, I have no comment. He just had nothing to say after that. And then after that, when they're in the boardroom, there's a moment where Joan insults Annie. And I thought it was so funny that Dennis Rodman loses it. He just starts laughing. Donald is like, you can't laugh. You're on Annie's team. Stop laughing. Let's check this out.
I have to tell you, one of the things I love about Joan Rivers is that she is absolutely a businesswoman. Mm.
Really? How could you not love her?
I like anyone that wears as much makeup as I do.
You better beat that polka player.
Polka? I hardly even know her.
Hilarious.
She is the complete celebrity apprentice. I mean, she has it all.
Polka, I went in with your penis.
And I love her.
We're ready to go?
For Joan.
Hey, Joan, this is for you.
And the camera was zoomed way too close up on their faces.
Go get him.
Let's go.
You see the stubble coming out of their
makeup. I have no response to that.
You've met a lot of people. Tough people, smart people, dumb people, lots of people. You can read them because that's what you do for a living. Mm-hmm. Joan's been hard for you to read, hasn't she? She's been difficult for you.
Joan is a very different person than I am. And thank God. Dennis, aren't you glad you're back?
I'm just loving it.
Thank you, God.
So much better seeing it live than on TV, right, Dennis?
You're her teammate.
I know.
You're not supposed to be.
Well, I prefer not to discuss
it. You're her teammate, Dennis.
your teammate Dennis Sullivan.
Trump is such an asshole because through the entire show, he was like the school teacher controlling the kids in the peanut gallery.
There was a part with Jesse James where he told Jesse James just to stop talking, stop being mean.
Yeah, he goes, they were talking about Dennis Rodman, a conversation that Trump brings up, and Jesse James makes the comment that, listen, man, you're too stupid to realize that I'm trying to help you
He's
with
like,
your
that,
drinking
that's nasty,
problem.
Jesse.
He's like, don't say that. Don't say stupid. That's mean. That's just mean.
The best part of the entire program, though, is at the very end, they have Annie there. They have Joan. And Donald is asking, who would you hire? Who would you fire? And he goes, Clint Black, who would you fire? And he goes, your editor. Yeah. I was like, yes, yeah, that was awesome. And dead stare from Donald Trump. He wasn't even. And also, is it just me or does Andrew Dice Clay have nothing? He's just got nothing.
He's empty. He's completely and totally vapid.
The funniest thing that he has to say is he calls him Donnie Trump. Donnie Trump will be.
I like Donnie Trump. Oh!
He's got nothing. You would think he could be the least bit witty or something, crack some kind of joke.
Little Miss Muffet.
Hickory Dickory Dock.
That's all that's going on in his head as he sits there. Graying
because
and
I
fat.
Ran out of nursery rhymes. So
I want to ask you this: Joan Rivers won Celebrity Apprentice, and we actually learned last week. We were talking about what do you get, what do you benefit from winning? And they showed us with Piers that his charity has made a shitload of money since winning Celebrity Apprentice. It's seen around the world. People have supported it, and they've even supported the country and western guy. What's his name again?
Trace Atkins.
Yeah, they even supported Trace Atkins, which is great. So we know that their charities will be supported. And when it came down to it, this is the thing I think is weird. When Donald made the decision, he's like, Annie, you're fired. Joan, you're hired. Dun, 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 dun. People are shaking, and the show's over. Yeah. And I guess because he's the Donald, he doesn't have to explain his decision at all, does he?
No.
Do you think that he picked Joan just because Joan's an old friend of his?
Probably. I think he picked Joan because Joan kicked Annie's ass when it came to the actual auction and party and all that.
I mean, it was impressive that Annie raised, what was it, $450,000?
Yeah, but that's because she has friends with money.
Right. I mean, that was pretty
impressive.
And
all of her friends are members of the mafia,
but
apparently.
But, you know, the only time in the entire evening that Dennis Rodman was coherent is they asked him about the Annie Shindig, and he goes, this is just like some rich people networking. It doesn't feel like a real event or anything, like a party.
It's not a silent auction. It's just networking.
Yeah, it's just...
It looked boring.
And then the cut to Jones, and it's a bunch of queens, and there's little creatures running around. It was kind of like the bar in Star Wars or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the Star Wars cantina.
There's more makeup there than there was in the Star Wars cantina.
Yeah, you're right. More prosthetics. That was so frightening, though, with the drag queen.
I think they had Max Rebo in the corner, actually.
I think you're right. And it was funny. He's like... Joan, whose idea was it to have the drag queens? That was kind of frightening, Joan.
Polka. I hardly even know her.
Man, that like literally makes my spine tingle when I hear that. This is so frightening to me.
I have no response to that.
Exactly. I can't wait till Celebrity Apprentice comes back next year, mainly because I want the worst celebrities they can find.
I'm sure next year they'll have those two idiots from the Hills.
Can they please get Gary Busey on the show?
Oh my please. God, that would be the best thing ever.
Can they please get Gary Busey on Celebrity Apprentice?
Can you imagine the shit he would come up with?
They need to make Celebrity Apprentice with Dr. Drew's Drug House.
That needs to be talking. The show's actual name.
Yeah.
Dr. Drew's Drug House.
No, get Jeff Conway on there.
Yeah,
he'd be so
Jeff
confrontational.
Jeff Conway, Gary Busey, Tawny Kattan. I mean, just line
switch
all the D-list celebrities.
What do you guys think about this? Also throw in some Gary Coleman.
Yeah, totally. Got to have the Coleman.
Dude, both
and
of them.
And put Todd Bridges in
you
there, too.
Todd Bridges.
The Coreys. Both of
dig
them?
Up, both of them. Dig up Dana Plato. Her in there.
Oh, her corpse?
Her corpse.
Oh, no.
She couldn't look much worse than Joan Rivers at this point.
She's got to have, like, 80s television. Had the Facts of Life girls.
I've got that. Guys, Mr. T. Yeah!
I think he was. Wasn't he already on it?
All right.
I'm turning to fool.
Is it just me, or did the Hell's Kitchen finale just kind of flat? Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was boring.
I knew who was the winner already.
Did you? Because sometimes I thought Paula would win based on the fact that she was so likable.
I never thought Paula would win.
It's really sucked that she picked Andrea, because I know Andrea was a friend, but why?
I thought up until the finale, up until when they picked their crew, that she had a chance to win.
Right.
When the crew got picked, I was like,
well, also, what about Andrea saying, I've never cooked halibut before? It's like, you're screwed.
Yeah. Whoops.
But the best part is Lacey. She was there. And she had a meltdown again. And you know what? She said the same thing Dennis Rodman said on Celebrity Apprentice. He goes, what are they going to do? Fire us? We've already been eliminated from the show. We've got nothing to lose.
And Gio on there, Giovanni.
He was like, I don't even want to be here.
I don't care.
One more day in hell.
I don't care who wins.
Yeah, one more day in hell.
It's
and I'm
like,
done.
Go back to New Jersey.
And what about the fact that Gordon Ramsay, he can't really yell at them. He can just say, come on, pick up your slack. You're kind of losing it a little. Don't you want to support them? You know, he just kind of has to.
I actually felt kind of bad for Lacey because it looked like she was trying. It's just everybody was up in her shit.
Because they know, that she blows. Here's a moment where how many pans did she have laid out here?
I think there was like 8 of them.
And she was trying to juggle everything and losing it. Just like, oh, it's coming. Let's check this out. It's awesome.
Over in the red kitchen, Paula is trying to push out entrees.
Come on, garnish, Lacey, garnish. Yeah, it's coming. You got to give me a couple minutes.
There's just one small problem.
So you're working 2 pork, 1 chicken, 1 halibut, yes?
Yeah.
After that, you're working 2 pork, 1 chicken, 1 halibut again.
Oh, all right, hold on.
Give me a new chicken garnish, too, while you're at it.
Oh,
it's 2 of the same tickets, honey.
I know, but now I have... Never mind. There's just a lot of different stuff in a lot of different pans. Just get it done, Lacey.
I think Paula's menu is too complicated. I got a little flustered, you know. Paula's telling me 5 things to do at once.
Come on, Lacey, give it all you got. Come on, chef! Move, Lacey,
come on.
Hands on fire, Lacey, don't burn yourself.
God forbid, chef.
Lacey.
Yes,
Lacey,
chef.
Wow. Look at me, just try harder.
I am, chef!
I think this is the first and only time that Chef Ramsay actually got to me. And he's yip-yapping.
Didn't you cry on the episode you were eliminated?
Come on, man!
Yeah, really.
Don't start losing it. Come on!
What's he gonna do? Kick me off the show? Oh, wait. He already did that.
Spicy cabbage. Cipollini onions as well.
Yes, chef! I'm trying my hardest.
What do you need? What do you need?
Whatever she just said.
Lacey started to give up.
Jump on garnish with her. Put her hand on this down.
It may not be hot, L.A. Check it, please.
Warm it up.
I was trying
Warm it
to.
Up.
Spinach. Where's spinach, Lacey? Spinach, Lacey.
Yes, it's
fly.
Coming. It's coming. 1 minute.
I'm just sick of being yelled at. Like, shut up for a minute.
Come on, spinach. Come on, spinach, Lacey.
Lacey just acts stupid, and she doesn't own her own behavior. She doesn't own her station.
Stupid.
I got it.
She
just
doesn't
take it.
Own her own behavior.
Can you pass for someone else?
Messes with it.
Coming right now, chef.
I love that. I swear.
Yeah,
that's
their new thing. They took away the cicadas and put in the whirlwind.
It sounds like a Chevy that's driving by that's overheating, like or belt slipping. I guess
or something that needs a new belt.
Yeah, like. Oh, dude, you got to change that belt, dude. It's slipping big time. Now, when it came down to their little things, there was just the little drama going on. It wasn't really that entertaining. You just knew Paula or Danny.
It was pretty banal.
Okay, at the very end, you know, this happens every year where he kind of fakes them out or whatever. It was just so silly. He goes, the winner of Hell's Kitchen is... someone who lives in Florida.
Oh, and can we just go back and mention Danny's restaurant's name? The Velvet Hammer.
Yes.
He goes, Ben actually made one comment that actually made me laugh. He's like, that sounds like a porn star name.
What does he go? Gordon Ramsay's like, what's your restaurant name? He goes, The Velvet Hammer Chef.
That's what I'm known as.
That's what they call me back in cooking school.
And he's got fish on the wall and
he's like,
weird,
what
like aquatic things going
Gordon
on.
Gordon Ramsay,
it's because it's seafood.
Do you guys think that he takes that into any account in who he picks? I don't. How they design it. He
no, absolutely not. Because they're not the ones designing the restaurant.
They're not
going
to go to the Borgata and Danny's like, take all this shit down. I'm redoing this place. I don't think that's going to happen.
Put me a gigantic big mouth Billy Bass on there.
I want a Marlin right here on the wall.
I want it to sing, take me to the river.
We're going
to
go catch us a giant squid and mount that shit on the wall. It's like,
we're going to go catfish noodling.
I got to say, recently, Giant Squid Show came on Discovery or Animal Planet, one of those things. And my
this
daughter,
frightening, man.
Emma wanted me to record it. She's watched that thing like three times. The
really?
Giant squid. She's fascinated with the giant squid. And it's some kind of different giant squid where, I swear to God, the thing doesn't have suction cups. It has claws. And the claws spin 360 degrees. It was a dead squid. They could take it and just rotate it.
Awesome.
It's like something in nature has something with spinning claws.
That's like a
claws.
Killer squid, man.
And the giant beak on this thing was insane. If that thing grabbed a hold of you, God, that looks scary.
You should
that's the one that takes
watch
the bite
20,000
of
Leagues
whales.
Under the Sea with her.
Yeah, what it does, it grapples onto sperm whales. And the...
Wow.
The sperm whales eat giant squids, so this is the grossest part. The giant squid, sperm whales, when they beach themselves and they're dead, these guys go, they cut open the stomach, they pull out dead giant squids. And the guy's like going, oh my God, oh, and he's getting ready to puke. I was like, why isn't the guy wearing a mask?
Yeah.
What the hell kind of idea is that? But
get a respirator, you numbnuts.
I feel the same way. But what is there more to say? They reveal that Danny wins, and we got to see all the...
He jumped so high, winners. I thought he was going to go over the railing.
Is it just me, or did the winner, Heather, have a makeover since she won Hell's Kitchen?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
She looked
When you're making quarter
I would like a sperm
a
donation.
I highly doubt that she's still working at any job that she got from
Hell's
Kitchen.
I forgot to tell
Hell's
you guys.
Kitchen.
I read recently that only Rock is the guy who's still working for some kind of... They're still in the business. They just moved on to other things. They didn't.
Well,
like,
what it is you only get a 1-year contract.
Right. So they can either let you go, or maybe you're talented enough they offer you.
And it's only a contract for an executive chef. So basically, you're the restaurant manager.
And I heard that
you have no say over what goes on.
I read that the last year's winner, I forget her name, she was there. She actually took a different job. It was almost
Christina.
It sounded to me like Gordon Ramsay gave her the kind of job where she could learn and, you know.
Kind of like the tattooed dude that he invited to his cooking school in England.
Yeah, and the tattooed guy turned him down and started his own restaurant called Tattoo.
Ah, the plane!
Yeah, he had Hervé Villachez in the window.
I thought he did go to the school.
He turned him down.
But good for Danny. I just want Danny to wash his hair.
Yeah, and get a new hat.
And here's what I'm wondering. Is Kitchen Nightmares going to burn off during the summer?
Yeah.
Because I swear they only aired like 4 episodes. There's got to be more in the can than this.
Oh, and the controversy of... There was a moment during the show near the end where they were filling out... Or the people were filling out their questionnaires about the food.
Filling out the cards, you know.
And there was one woman that they left the camera on, kind of a blonde, choppy-haired woman filling out the thing. She's like, okay. And then it cuts away from her. That, it turns out, is the woman that Gordon Ramsay has been accused of having an affair with.
Right.
So
it doesn't look good that she...
No, something tells me Gordo's going to be getting served with some paper soon.
Don't start losing it. Come on.
Well, another thing is that in the article it said this proves that Gordon Ramsay has no power over the editing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, could you cut the mistress out of the show?
Yeah.
That's
and
not
it's a
good.
Pity because, you know, you watch the F word and he's got a great family.
Yeah, he's got kids.
It makes you think, like, what's going on for him to... the article, look for some strange.
You know, one thing I've learned from reading those articles, and they're over in England, the tabloids are brutal over there.
Oh, absolutely. That's where that Piers Morgan came from.
That's all. It's
he
so
was
an
editor of, like, News of the World or something.
I would not want to be a celebrity in England.
No, those, yeah, it's so much worse over there with the tabloids.
It sucks.
Yeah, I agree with you. But another thing is, is it over in England where celebrities here, like Tom Cruise or whatever, they always sue those papers and win because they...
Well, it's because they print anything.
Right.
They just print unsubstantiated rumors and then they get their asses owned.
Now, guys, do you want to talk about Dollhouse or take a break first?
Let's talk about Dollhouse first and get it out of the way.
Okay.
And then we can move into other stuff.
Let's talk about the Dollhouse finale. First of all, I have no idea if it's coming back for another season.
I hope it is, because I was thoroughly impressed with the finale.
I've also heard that there's a 13th episode that was filmed that will not air, but it's going to be on the DVD set, Bill.
Yeah, what was it called? The Epitaph or something?
Right, and I have no idea if it even has any of the main story arc in it. It's just a standalone episode. I don't know what's going on there. But
I'd like to know why they chose not to air it. Like, was it too controversial?
I know.
Bad?
From what I understand, they were never contractually obligated to air a 13th episode.
Okay.
And they just made it or something. I don't know.
So maybe it's just a filler episode for all we know.
That's what it sounds like. Couldn't be any worse than any Smallville filler episode. Definitely.
Oh, no, and that would take a lot to...
Yeah, I don't even talk about Smallville right now. But Dollhouse, this is all about Alpha. Remember, he's taken Echo with him, and it turns out, remember we were talking, it's kind of like a natural born killers kind of thing, and it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Some kind of crazy, stupid chick will do whatever he said. And the thing I really liked about this episode is the Alpha flashbacks, where it showed where he's part of the Dollhouse, mm-hmm. and it showed that there was something wrong with him because he was fixated on Echo. And how'd you like that scene where he goes up to the doctor? What was her name? Whiskey.
Amy? Yeah, she was a doll.
Yeah, she was like the most popular doll who was she needs
to... And I saw why.
Yeah.
She was looking hot.
She's like all hot and stuff. And Alpha's like, let Echo have some fun or something like that. I forget what he says. And he starts cutting her.
Let Echo be the most popular or be the best or something.
Yeah, that was freaky. And then
rips into her with that scalpel.
And then we see what happens is all the personalities get downloaded in his head at once. And the first thing he does is smashes his original personality. That was some crazy shit, man. And there's some things I was confused about in this.
I'm not going back to Alan Tudyk.
Now, when Paul Ballard, he decided to help them because he just wanted to help find Echo.
Caroline.
And he goes out and, hey, look, it's... that guy from Romo Lumpkin. That's Romo Lumpkin.
Yeah, Badger.
It's Badger, the guy who's on every show on television. He's like the Observer, but on other shows. He's just standing there. But I love that guy. He's great at what he does. And there's this part where he's like, they call in a bomb threat or whatever. All the cops show up, and he's like, don't worry, I'll get rid of him. And he goes outside, and he... calls him off. They cut to the Olivia Williams character. She's got like this shit-eating grin on her face. But I thought I don't understand the Paul Ballard dynamic. What he was doing, was he going to join the Dollhouse? Was he going to come under their employment now or what?
I guess he's now their consultant.
Yeah, that seemed kind of
strange. Which is just so incredibly confusing to me that...
That wasn't fleshed out enough for me. But
no, that... Well, the whole character of Paul Ballard was a bit of an asshole.
And he does walk funny. He sashays.
He does. He has a bit of a
he's kind
a
of swishy.
Gay sashay.
Swishy. He's a little swishy.
He's swishy.
Wow.
Oh, God. I hardly even know him.
No, stop it. All right, so basically what Alpha does is he takes Caroline into this place, and Caroline and Echo, because remember he's implanted Caroline into the little chick from Growing Pains. She was like the little girl from Growing Pains who they brought in. Like, we need a cute kid, because all the other kids are growing up and they're ugly. So we got to bring in a little kid. So here's a scene here where after Alpha has downloaded all of Echo's personality she's ever had into one. And the first thing she does is hit him upside the head with a pipe. Let's check this out.
You hit me with a pipe.
Yeah? Call me Omega again and you'll get some more.
Something must have gone wrong with the composite.
Nothing went wrong. Every imprint this active has ever had is alive and awake in her head right now.
Why did you hit me in the head with a pipe?
It was handy. And you wanted me to kill myself?
I wanted you to kill her.
Her is me. You made that very clear.
No.
Is Eliza out of her acting range here, Bill?
I think so.
You think we're gods?
We're not just humans anymore. We're not multiple personalities. We're many personalities. Yeah. One of my personalities
He's
happens
acting
to be a multiple personality.
Around
that's
her.
To make me a multiple personality. I'm looking for a little nuance here.
We're not gods.
Fine.
Oh.
Ubermensch.
Ubermensch.
Nietzsche predicted our rise. Perfected. Objective. Something new.
Right. New, superior people. With a little German thrown in. What could possibly go wrong?
Wow.
We're not new. We're not anything. We're not anybody because we're everybody.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I get
follow.
It. I understand it. I'm experiencing like 38 of them right now.
But I'm not experiencing any good actors.
No.
None of them are actors.
I'm trying to remember. Yeah, none of them happen to be an actor.
Actually, it slips into me. I had to make room for it.
Can you hold up that line? I can't read it.
Line, please.
I'm just a container. There's a you. She's right here. He may be crazy, but he's right.
Hold on there. You're not allowed to out-act her.
You left me
alone. You're a guest actor.
Yeah.
Why did you do that?
You're not even going to be alive in 5 minutes.
However complicated you thought our life was before, you cannot tell me.
Whoa.
Pipe.
Now, since Caroline was in the body of the chick from Growing Pains and she got killed... But they still have her personality and all that. Does that mean she won't even remember anything?
No, she won't even know that because that wasn't backed up.
Okay, so basically, no matter how many personalities she has, it turns out it has nothing to do with the way Alpha is because Alpha was batshit crazy.
Yeah, Alpha was a nut before that.
And it turns out he was on his way to becoming Ted Bundy, is what they said. A serial killer. Before using a prison program, he volunteered in exchange for time served. To be experimented on. And that's how he became the way he is. And they go to visit... I like seeing Paul Ballard and the other dude become like partners. And they go to visit one of his victims. It's like
Freebie and the Bean.
Hardcastle McCormick? Nah. So
Cagney and Lacey?
When she gets off the elevator, they see that her face is cut up. And they know instantly. Wherever the... Whoever Alpha was took his victim. That's where he's got Caroline. And they go there. Alpha gets away. And Paul Ballard, he wants...
what's
her face?
They got to keep a good actor alive on the
What
show.
Is Melly? He wants Melly to
Millie,
be released.
Yeah, Melly is now free to do what she needs to do.
And we have no idea what's going to happen with the storyline with Paul Ballard working there or whatever. Because we don't know if the show will be picked up one more season. And
I do know what's going to happen.
What?
Fox is going to send Tam O'Pinnicott and Eliza Dushku to acting school in the off season.
I read this thing. I forget. It was on IO9. You know that site that's like
Life
Hacker?
Yeah, that's a great sci-fi blog.
They had a theory that everyone on Dollhouse is a doll. They just don't know it.
You know what? I think the company that runs the Dollhouse, that would be the smartest thing they can do because that makes everybody disposable.
Like Topher is just programmed as a genius.
Yeah.
Olivia Williams is programmed to be the way she is to run it. the guy who still questions authority, but at the same time takes a job to be Echo's handler. He's also one. Paul Ballard doesn't realize he is. I don't understand any of it, but hey, that's
Paul Ballard's actually a child with autism.
Poor guy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, hey, I'm going to say Dollhouse, from going to seeming really stupid, it actually got pretty entertaining over time.
Yeah, the acting is still terrible, but the writing's better. It's pretty entertaining.
I have no response to that.
Yeah. I think the best actor on the show was Alan Tudyk. It was Alpha who they brought in.
Yeah. Because
I think
the
Olivia
guy
Williams.
That was Echo's handler is the same in every movie, whether it's the Matrix movies
and
or...
He's fine the way he is, and I think Olivia Williams is good, too. Eliza Dushku can't act. She really can't.
No, she's just terrible. You know, even whenever she's got a mildly better actor, she's terrible.
You know what? Amy Acker should have been the lead in this show, honestly.
Yeah, I totally agree with that 100%.
She should have been the lead, but I don't know. Guys, let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll be right back, and we'll talk about some Fringe, the Fringe finale. What do you say?
Some Fringe.
So, Steven, go to break now.
Okay. This is ridiculous. Okay, I'll go.
Watch.
Wow.
It's a Shrinky Dink shrinking.
It's coffee.
Puffy, fuzzy Shrinky Dinks. Shrink and puff. All you do is trace, color with special pencils, and cut out.
And I bake in the oven for 3 magic minutes.
Look at that. It's shrinking.
It's puffing.
You can make decorations, tags, jewelry, anything you want. There's a Shrinky Dink kit for everyone.
Gather round the Jiffy Pop.
Gather round the Jiffy Pop.
The Jiffy Pop.
The Jiffy Pop.
Gather round the Jiffy Pop. The family fun treat.
And here's great fun, a Jungle Book Magic Picture Kit free in specially marked packages of Jiffy Pop popcorn. Each kit's a different scene from Walt Disney Productions' full-length feature, Jungle Book. 4 fun scenes in all.
Here comes the Jiffy Pop.
Fresh, hot, and delicious every time because you make it yourself.
Gather round the Jiffy Pop. The family fun treat.
When you come home from Kmart, you can feel very good about what you bought. Because along with the best brand names and the low Kmart price, you have the assurance that if anything you buy at Kmart isn't right for any reason, we'll do our best to make you happy.
This thing doesn't catch good.
Well, let's find one that does.
Kmart. Satisfaction always.
Kmart.
To perfection, keep on your toes.
You have to be quick,
cause here's how it goes.
Push the plunger down, set the timer. Fit the pieces in place. Don't be slow in perfection.
You gotta move on fast, or the pieces pop out before you put in the last. And that's perfection.
And for a greater challenge, try Superfection. 32 puzzle shapes to assemble in place. It can drive you wacko. Perfection, Superfection.
When I bite into a York peppermint patty, I get the sensation of frosty window panes and old man winter knocking at my door.
York peppermint patty, get the sensation.
Where are the Davidsons? They're at home looking for bargains. That's Bobby with a stove, radio, and toaster. And Jane has a dresser, clock, and a dog.
It's the exciting game called Bargain Hunter. Makes us really hunt out bargains. Handle money.
And gives us each a credit card, too.
And a credit card machine to run it through.
First to furnish their apartment and be out of debt wins Bargain Hunter.
And that's me!
Bargain Hunter, the bargains game from Milton Bradley.
Presenting McDonald's Star Trek meal. Parents, take a good look. It's the only meal approved for your kids by the United Federation of Planets. Outside, the Enterprise, action, intrigue. 5 exciting boxes based on Star Trek, the motion picture. Inside, a regular hamburger, fries, soft drinks, a McDonaldland cookie sampler, and a Star Trek prize. Star Trek meal, games, jokes, puzzles. Your kids will love them. McDonald's Star Trek meal.
Your dungeon master has placed you in a dreadfully precarious position.
You're playing the most phenomenal game ever created.
Your skin grows cold from your first glimpse of the enormous beast.
It's a product of your imagination.
Survival depends on a quick, decisive move.
Your choices are limited.
Stand and fight, or run.
Use your lightning bolt.
Victory is yours.
Win the treasure.
TSR Hobbies.
Dungeons and Dragons games.
Products of your imagination.
I bet that beef satay is good.
Mm-hmm. You've never seen a place like Showbiz Pizza Place. We'll serve you a pizza second to none. So come for a pizza. Stay for the fun.
Now, Showbiz has four delicious new sandwiches. Get a free Pepsi with a hot ham and cheese, roast beef, turkey, or a 3-meat submarine for only $1.99.
So come for a pizza. Stay for the fun.
Chasing bank robbers makes me hot and thirsty. Let's get a drink.
No time. Stay here. Hey, you.
Kool-Aid brand soft drink mix.
Oh, yes!
Do you get enough noodles in your noodle soup?
You don't. Well, there's an easy-to-make noodle soup so full of noodles.
It's full, so full of thick and plump.
In fact, Oodles of Noodles is so full of noodles, it's the mostly noodle soup. In just 3 little minutes, you have a hearty, delicious oriental noodle soup. So full of noodles.
It's full, so full of thick and plump.
A soup so full of noodles, we called it Oodles of Noodles.
Hungry? Tired of the burger, hot dog, fish routine? Think Pepe's. Pepe's Tacos Restaurants. Treat yourself to the wonderful world of Mexican food and authentic Mexican atmosphere. Think variety. Pepe's menu includes over 80 delicious items. Pepe's is lunch with a different taste. A place to dine on a date and still have enough for a movie. Pepe's Tacos Restaurants are the family fun place to be.
Pepe's Tacos are very good tacos.
Morning, kids. It's a Pac-Man day with my crispy corn cereal coming your way.
With marshmallows.
Delicious. I'm Pinky.
I'm Blinky.
I'm Pinky.
I'm Fly.
We're the marshmallows.
You'll find inside.
There goes a Pac-Pac.
And Pinky too.
He's marshmallow. You can chomp him too.
Part of this nutritious breakfast.
With marshmallows.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah.
Pepe's tacos are very good tacos.
That is the worst song in a commercial.
That's the worst jingle I've ever seen.
I mean, I wonder who sat there and went, well, we got to have some kind of jingle.
Pepe's tacos
are very good tacos. Yes.
Yeah,
great. Okay, so the tacos are very good. Pepe's tacos are very good tacos. Let's put that to a song.
Pepe's tacos are very good tacos. Awesome.
Love me some tacos.
Cool. I love tacos. And you know what? I love YouTube.
Now I want some tacos.
For being able to find all that stuff, Bill. Isn't that fun?
Yeah, next week we're using the Pup and Taco commercial.
Bill and I, we entertain each other by sending each other links to old stuff. And Bill, what was that game? It blew my mind. You showed me
Perfection.
This commercial for Perfection. It's like, oh my God. I like remembered this from childhood or teenage
God,
years.
That game was torturous because it was like, it made you a nervous wreck.
It's like a bomb diffusing game. You know, it's like, and the thing's like shaking and you're trying to arrange the puzzle pieces. It's like,
you keep looking at the timer and trying to get the puzzle pieces right.
You have to put these puzzle pieces.
And then you have to stop the, or it'll blow up.
Yeah, it'll all shoot the pieces
hit the switch
everywhere.
Or it'll go, yeah.
I don't want to have to clean this shit up. Come on!
Yeah, I like the one where it had like all the little pixie stick, or no, the sticks to it and had the marbles, and you pull a stick through it. Yeah, pick a stick.
Right, that
and
was cool.
And the marbles would come shooting through if you picked the wrong ones.
Yeah.
Basically, those games are just meant to be nerve-wracking as hell, yeah. weren't they?
We were going through, like, trying to find all of our favorite board games from our youth, because it just...
Uh-oh. That's the way Billy...
That's the way perfection makes you feel.
that's exactly it.
I was trying to find the commercial to Stop Thief. Remember that board game where the guy's in your house? You got this little electronic box, and you can hear his footsteps. Doom. And you have to roll the dice. Oh, it's so cool. It was creepy, too, because if you were in a different part of the house and all of a sudden the footsteps, okay, the burglar's over here, you know. It's just a burglar. The game's not called Serial Killer or anything, so the guy probably just would have ran away anyway, right?
Serial Killer.
Oh, and Bill, you found the best game ever. What was that game where you basically balance your budget or something?
Oh, yeah. Bargain Shopper.
Yeah, Bargain Shopper. You find bargains.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's like, I was looking at that, and I was just like, are you serious?
Fun for the whole family. Bargain Shopper. I found
it's
this.
It's like somebody went, you know what, let's do a version of the Game of Life and make it really boring.
Yeah, it's like, hey, look at this deal I got on these pants. Great, Bobby.
I have a dong and a television. This you even get a credit card.
Oh, no, guys. I'm on food stamps. You know.
And the whole centerpiece of it was the credit card swiper.
Right.
I'm on Skid Row.
It was cool to be able to have that chick thing.
Yeah.
Remember, all board games had their gimmick. What was the one with the boggle thing in the middle?
Trouble. The Pop-O-Matic.
Yeah, the Pop-O-Matic. You'd have the dome with the dice inside, and you'd hit it, and that's how the dice would roll. That was awesome.
God,
that way you never lost your dice.
Right. That is probably good. Now, guys, let's talk about Fringe. Everyone knows that I love Fringe. Great show. And I have a lot of questions. Did you guys walk away with questions? For instance... Okay, we know that one guy with three names, the psycho guy who escaped from prison. I can't remember his name. I'm having trouble. He's in Dark Man bandages now.
Yeah, yeah.
He stole his henchman shot
his
Nina Sharp.
His face is melting off.
They shot Nina Sharp. He stole a AA nuclear battery from an electronic arm, right? A robot arm. And he's using it for this device to basically make a hole... to go into this other world.
Parallel universe.
Where he knows William Bell is, so he can go there and kill the bastard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Observer is with Walter, and he's trying to point Walter in the right direction to find this device. Now, here's what I'm wondering. Why does the Observer care about what happens to William Bell? Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Why does he care
about just
that?
Want them to do a show that's nothing but the Observer and Walter going across country.
Where they're just walking along the different landscapes.
Yeah, like Midnight Run.
Now, here was the interesting scene. Walter's in this beach house, and Peter finds him, and he's just tearing the place apart. He's going nuts. He doesn't know
what
to do.
Yeah.
And Peter kind of talks him down, talking about when he made pancakes when he was young, and Walter remembers. And there's a very interesting little storyline developing here where Walter was talking about when Peter was very sick or whatever. But let's check this out, where he's telling Peter about this other world.
What exactly is that?
When Billy and I were younger men, we regularly ingested large quantities of LSD.
You don't say?
We became convinced what we saw while on the drug was real. We believed that we were catching glimpses of another reality, another world just like ours, slightly different, populated by slightly different versions of ourselves. We all experienced momentarily as deja vu, and Billy and I could prolong it with hallucinogenics. But the question, of course, was how to get there without LSD.
Billy, as you know, theorized that young children have the capacity to see these other worlds naturally.
I know, you already told me about that. Bell's experiments were cortexophan.
Yes, he theorized that properly nurtured, these abilities could be heightened, intensified, and that... in time, his subjects may be able to travel from here to there.
Over there. You mean an alternate world?
Around this time, something was lost to me, Peter. Something precious. I became convinced that if only I could cross over myself, then I could take from there what I had lost here.
And what was the plan? You were just going to open up a hole and then walk over to the other side?
No. It's not that simple. You have to find the right place first.
Of course, there's a problem opening a hole to another reality. In theory, that would also allow things from there to pass over here, which could be dangerous. And so, I also built a plug.
A plug?
Actually, more a patch. To close the hole should the need ever arise. This is that patch, Peter. This is what I had to find.
Okay, thing just looked so like I'm a clear. Sound meter, didn't it?
Somewhere out there, there is a hole to another reality, and you need the plug.
Light meter.
Yes, I'm afraid so.
Well, do you know where it is?
Yes.
Yes, he
did. Yes, I do, Peter. Raven. Raven Lake.
Now, at this same time, Olivia and Nina Sharp are going over this map where incidents happened in the pattern, and it looks like they talk about the weakening of this fabric.
They're quickening!
Whatever it is, there's some kind of weakening happening because of all of our tampering, I guess, right? That's what it sounded like. Mm-hmm. And when Walter was talking about how he lost something and he went over there to get something, they pretty much spelled it out for us.
Yeah.
When he went to visit Peter's grave.
What?
So Peter died as a kid. He got very sick. Walter was so grief-stricken. He went over to this other world and got that Peter and brought him back. Isn't that what it sounds like to you?
Yeah. Montreal guy brought up a good point, though. Remember earlier in the season, on the Observer episode, they mentioned how they were in that car accident.
Right.
And maybe Peter died there.
Like maybe
and
he
Walter
got,
just said he was very sick.
Maybe he got pneumonia because it was in the freezing.
Ah, maybe
the
that's
snow
it. Yeah.
In his ice or something, fluid in his lungs or something. I don't know. And I want to know how the Observer is tied into Walter, because he visits Walter. Walter knows who he is, and he's like...
Oh, they're drinking buddies from a couple years back.
Well, the Observer tells him something. He gives him that coin, and he says kind of points him in the right direction. He goes, that's all I can tell you. I can't tell you anymore.
You kind of wonder since the Dark Man bandage guy, if he's going he's already time traveled. And it's like kind of messed with his skin and all. That's why
he teleported out of prison.
Yeah, well, I mean, essentially these guys are approximately the same. You know, that's why they have no hair.
Because of his transportation. The way he transports through whatever.
They have the way of...
Their bodies can sustain it, or they can handle it,
or
whatever.
Or they've perfected it a little bit more.
Yeah, that's what he
maybe
obviously...
Maybe that's why they're all albinos.
Remember he's got that gun, and he's got... Remember those binoculars he had? He's from future. He's got to be from way advanced civilization. That's got to be what it is.
But coming through does something to your molecules, obviously.
Right. And the whole idea was to stop this guy from going over there. And it was so cool. The guy, they're opening that portal...
On the street, at the lake, and he's walking.
I love the way it looked too. As he's walking towards it, it's raining on the other side in that other world. Mm-hmm. And Peter aims that thing, and he goes like, and it shuts it halfway on the guy, and the guy's cut in half. Like,
I love anytime anybody's cut in half like that.
Yeah, and just like the way he's like kind of tilted his head back to show us that he was chopped in half. You know, he should have made a sound like that and writhed around or something. That would have been cool.
And then got hit by a car and splattered all over the place.
Yeah, get away from me, man! That would have been awesome. So my question here is, William Bell, he's in the other world because Nina Sharp keeps a promise. You stop that guy with three names that Jason can't remember. So now you get to have a meeting with William Bell. Go visit him here. She's hanging out. She gets on the elevator, and she switches over. It's obvious she's in the other world, right? She's in the other world. She looks down and sees a paper, and it says Obama is moving into the White House. Immediately, I was thinking...
The new White House.
Right. I was wondering what that meant.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking since it... You know, it was revealed that she was in the World Trade Center buildings.
The World Trade Center wasn't a target. It was the White House.
White House, yeah.
Right. because it pulls back. Now, what did you guys feel when it pulled back and showed the World Trade Center?
I was shocked.
It was shocking. At the same time, you're like, are you like, that's not right? Or what? I mean, I know the show's not trying to offend anyone. Honestly, I don't think there are.
I did think, like, oh man, that's going to piss some people
off.
Yeah,
I thought that too. But also at the same time, I think they're really hitting home that this is different world.
Yeah. That's, I mean, that's more or less what they're trying to show you is.
Right.
It's like, it's a different world. Period. Don't.
It's a different world.
And there was no Dwayne Wayne. I was upset.
There's no Dwayne Wayne.
There's a Dwayne Wayne there and here.
Lisa Bonet is
so
there.
So let me ask you this.
One in the university wears the flip-up glasses and one he doesn't.
If Walter went over there and took the other Walter's son, don't you think that Walter's pretty messed up in that world, having his son abducted?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I can't wait.
Yeah, maybe they'll get into that next season.
And I love after it was over and it shows, you know, next season. I was just like, oh, I want the show to be back right now.
I'm about to say, what if, you know, for some reason the two Walters are talking about and that's why they bring the other, the Peter over, you know, it's like to protect mm-hmm. him from something.
That's, another thing is this, the way it sounds like if people go down a path that splits off because of decisions, isn't there more than one of those worlds?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Isn't there a shitload? So how did that guy know by opening that portal he'd go into the right one that William Bell was in? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. Well, if they get into the whole multiverse thing,
that's confusing as hell, isn't it?
There's multiple dimensions, like up to, I think, like up to 8 dimensions.
Maybe it's like this. If you think of it, if there are paths, maybe there's the one specific one right next to ours, and then on the side of that or whatever.
That's what their nexus point is. Why? Yeah. There's only certain points
right.
that connect to,
and then there was that dial
that connect to that universe.
In that universe, there's another place to get to another one, and so on until your brain is just confused as all hell. I mean,
I'd like to know how they keep that location open through that elevator.
Until you become a slime.
Because she obviously leaped.
Right. William
if
Bell's
World Trade Center isn't in our world and it's in that world, how can it?
Yeah, because she wasn't in the same exact spot in our world. She was like teleported, right?
Exactly. Right. Because there was like that flash of the elevator being full of people and then no one. And then it's like she was jumping through dimensions.
So is Olivia going to start falling apart?
I'm not even going to dignify myself with a response to that.
Oh, okay. No, I don't.
Well,
think
since
she
can do it naturally, unlike,
yeah, she—that's her talent. Like she was slipping in the previous.
Unlike the observers who probably can't.
Well,
and that's,
yeah, that's one thing. The previous episode, remember, she kept accidentally doing it, shifting or whatever. That's obviously her talent or whatever. Well, yes, she's that'd be a cool.
But
hero
like you can, you know,
power,
the way Walter
Bill?
Is saying, you use that device to shift.
Right.
And that's what affects your body. If you can naturally do it, it doesn't affect you.
Don't you? What I love about this show, and much like Lost, is when it's over, you're still thinking about it.
Yeah.
Unlike 24, where my brain goes...
Yeah, 24, you just kind of shut down.
This whole thing, what's the name of the porter guy that they're forcing to carry the canister of gas, Bill?
Jabroni.
Jabroni. Yeah, they got poor Jabroni on a train. My favorite part of this is where he decides he's going to go and tell them, there are people, they're forcing me to plant a bomb. Please, you got to help me. And the cop walks up and he's like, well, what seems to be the problem here? And he's like, talk to this man. He's like, these people, they're making me do this. He goes, just put your mic back on and shut up and go deliver the bomb. And that guy was one of the bad guys. At that point, if I was poor Jabroni, wouldn't you be like, screw it, I'm screwed. I'm going to die.
Yeah.
And I think he was. He was just like, okay, whatever, I'll do it. And Jack, you know, if we just cut to the chase here, Jack, he talks to Jabroni, talks him down. And the smartest thing he did is when he's trying to run outside before the bomb thing goes off with the gas, the guy's like, hey, stop right there. What are you doing? And he's like, well, I got a bomb. And freaks everybody out. Everyone's like, ah! line runs. And I was like, that was pretty smart, because now everyone's clearing a path to stay the hell away from the guy.
Thank God, it's an A-Rap with a bomb.
And luckily, they had an ambulance there with a safe room inside of it. What was
that?
Yeah,
an airtight safe room.
And Jack throws it in real quick, shuts it, blows up. Hey, save the day. Tony's captured. All is well. And I swear, early in the episode, they cut over to Kim Bauer in the airport. And I was like, no, why are they showing us her character? She's like, yeah, honey, I'll be home soon. Don't worry. My flight's been delayed. I'll be home. And I was like, then they show this guy watching her. I was like, no, please show. Don't do this. Then they have this nice couple. And she's like, can I stay here with you? That guy's kind of creeping me out. And they're like, sure. And immediately Heather's like, those are the bad guys. And I was like, I know. It's not even hard to
spot
at all. The guy who's
watching
her. They
have a mountain lion as a pet.
The guy gets on the phone. He's like, yeah, Mr. Bauer, I've got an eye on her. The guy she's creeped out about, who she thinks he's the one protecting her.
Yeah.
My favorite part's when that guy's like, eh, she's okay. I'm going to go take a leak. And then the nice guy who's with Kim strangles him and snaps his neck. He's like, hey, I got some coffee, guys. Get some decaf. And he points Kim is so just clueless. She's sitting there reading her magazine. The guy's pointing a webcam at her. Did you like that, Bill?
Yeah,
like,
that was subtle. It's like, let me rearrange this laptop so I get a better view of her dimple chin.
So everything is happy. Jack has just seen Jabroni hook up with his brother, and the guy from Crossing Jordan's like, good job,
wait,
Jack.
He's hooked up with his brother?
Yeah, that's, it's pretty sick.
Gross.
But Jack, he actually cracks a smile, even though he's dying. Did you like that, Bill? He does a little smile. Like,
more of a smirk.
Smirk, those bastards. So everything's happy, and then Jack gets a phone call. Let's check it out.
Ms. Bauer?
I'm sending a link to your phone. It's something I think you should see.
Who is this?
It's hilarious.
Mr. Bauer?
It's this video of this guy getting punched out at a party.
Oh, it's Kim reading a magazine.
Who the hell is this?
Your daughter's in the company of our operatives. And Agent Franks has already been neutralized.
Yeah, apparently they have an excellent periodical selection.
Any effort to contact her or warn anybody about this will have the same result. Do you understand?
What you're asking me to do is impossible. Tony Almeida's already been secured. He's under heavy guard.
Well, that's your problem. Put this call on your earpiece and keep the line open. I'm going to be listening to everything you say. Now, Bauer. You're going to make your move to break Almeida out soon. I'm going to tell you what to do and when to do it. Oh, and Mr. Bauer. If any of those agents in that van get in the way, you will have to eliminate them or your daughter will die.
Immediately when this happened, I was like, they did this in season one. We have your daughter. We have your wife. Do what we say. Everyone's like, Jack's gone rogue. He's a bad guy now. But in reality, they were keeping an eye on his every move, and he had to. They're doing the same shit they did in season one.
He should honestly just go, you know what? Kill her.
Yeah, what I would have done is been like, you know what? Hello, Mr. Bauer, we have your daughter. Well, hello?
You have my daughter. I'm going to let Tony go.
And it shows him just throw his phone over his shoulder, and he gets in the car and drives away. And they're going, I can't get a hold of him. How are we going to blackmail him if he won't answer his phone?
Some bum picks up the phone. Hello?
Yeah, like, why doesn't he just go, I don't negotiate with terrorists?
No, what better is Jack gets in the car. He's like, fine, all right? Christ's sakes.
This is ridiculous, okay? I'll go.
I'll get Tony.
I'll go.
Like, what is so important about phone pad? She'll keep calling.
Yeah, she'll keep calling me. She'll want me to get his free Tony Almeida.
Forget it. That's it.
You know what I want to see? Alan Ruck on next season of 24.
Yeah, maybe end up being a bad guy.
God damn it!
That would be awesome. So this Monday, I want to predict what's going to happen, okay? Because they kind of show in the previews that they're sticking a needle in Jack's spine, it looks like.
Oh.
They've lost their poisonous gas. Jack is the only person been exposed to it. So they're going to go get his spinal fluid and develop a new agent. That's why they need Jack. And there's a part where Jack goes, just let me die to Tony. So that's going to be good stuff, man. And they also got this stupid storyline with the president's daughter, and I kind of like check my email during those scenes. Like, oh,
yeah, really?
What's going on Facebook right now?
She's so completely unimportant to the storyline.
And I love Aaron. He doesn't trust her. He's like, I'm going to make a phone call. Is there a way
I don't trust that bitch.
You know what's funny about that actor who plays Aaron? I heard him in an interview on the radio, and he's in Transformers 2.
Oh, really?
He said Michael Bay called him up, and he goes, hey, I need you for the new Transformers. And he goes, well, my character perished in the first movie, Michael. He's like, I don't care. We need you back. So he gave him, I forget the actor's name. It's something Morshower or something. He goes, your name is going to be General Morshower. You're just going to use your real name. He's like, oh, do you think that's a wise idea? He's like, I'm the director. I'm Michael Bay. So he's in the movie.
Michael effing Bay, man.
So that actor, I think his name's Greg Morshower or something like that, he's in Transformers 2 as his real name. And he was in the previous Transformers and got killed. So it makes no sense at all.
He should just be in it as Landry's dad.
Yeah, played Landry's dad. Now let's talk about the finale of Smallville. The whole season has been building up to this penultimate battle, Bill, between Doomsday and Clark.
Doomsday versus Clark.
You're some kind of super guy. There's a moment in this episode, Jimmy Olsen learns Clark's power. Immediately I knew by the end of the episode, Jimmy would be either dead or have amnesia. Yeah. So he goes,
or be in the Phantom Zone.
He actually says this to Clark. He goes, you're a super guy. Wow.
You're a super guy, Clark.
Now, Bill, are they allowed to say Superman on the show?
No, they're not.
Why are they allowed to say Brainiac, Doomsday, Lois Lane, Jimmy Olsen?
I guess because there's a different type of licensing for
Perry White,
man,
V'ger, whatever.
V'ger.
Oh, wait, wrong show. But I don't understand why they can't say Superman, or are they just being cute? I don't know. But
I think they actually can't.
There's a scene where Clark calls Lois for some advice.
Without having to pay DC for the rights.
Yeah. But they are, anyway. It's Smallville. Everything is DC, Superman. That's what I don't understand. Do you know what I'm saying?
All the characters.
I mean, obviously, it's not following the same continuity.
The name is copyrighted.
Lex Luthor. All of those are Superman characters.
Yeah,
so,
but is the name copyrighted where they can't use it?
I need to find this out. I don't really care, but I'm going to find it out. Okay, so anyway, Lois is dealing with Clark. Clark thinks he's going to die. Remember that guy from the future comes to him, Bill, and he's like, you can't mess with time travel. But anyway, I came back to tell you that
you aren't
around in the future, Clark. You're dead. Doomsday kills you.
What?
The minute you decide not to send him to the Phantom Zone, he killed you. And you die tomorrow. So here's a time travel ring. Time travel is very tricky, but bring Doomsday to the future and we will kick his ass. And he's like, okay. No, I'm going to use black kryptonite and separate him from the other guy.
And I'm going to put him in a hole.
Yeah, he wants to put him deep, deep, deep in a cavern, and then they'll pile shit on top of him, set off bombs or whatever.
Yeah, because he couldn't, you know, dig himself out of that.
Yeah, he's not super strong or anything like that. So, okay, here's the whole thing here. Here's what I want to know. Oh, first of all, Tess and Lois get into a big... Okay, no. Go back. Okay, the guy gives Clark a time travel ring, Steven.
Yes.
Does he put it in his pocket? No.
No.
What does he do? He sticks it in his desk drawer at work. A time travel ring. If you touch it, you travel through time. He sticks it in a drawer in his desk.
That's what I would
do. Well, he needs to keep it handy while he's at work.
Yeah, he can't just stick it in his pocket or anything. So what happens is Tess thinks that...
put it on a string, on a necklace.
Yeah. Tess thinks that Lois stole her magic orb that was on last season that...
you stole my orb!
So she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. So they get in a cat fight.
Quite possibly the worst directed fight ever
it
on television.
It was hilarious, this
fight.
It
was so sloppy. It was like I could hear the director going, okay, you're going to hold her neck. And now step off
Now you
and okay, you and kick
it,
here
and bump into this drawer, and the ring falls out. So Lois picks up the ring, like, "Ooh, cute ring." She disappears. She's in time, lost in time somewhere. They never showed Tesco. I wonder where she went. She was knocked unconscious.
She showed up on the Robinson's ship, and now she has to deal with Matt LeBlanc.
How great was this scene, Bill, where it's Impulse and the Black Canary and Clark, and he's kind of giving a hard time to Green Arrow, and they're like, "Dude, what gives? What gives, CK? Why are you being such a dick to Green Arrow?" He's like, "It's because Oliver made his decision to kill Lex. You're no longer one of us."
Yeah.
And he kind of turns and walks away, like all disappointed. And you see them, like, with their hands on their hips, like, "Ollie shouldn't have killed him." And I was like, "Oh,
the moral police."
Groan. So here's the best thing about it. Okay, Chloe, they capture her, and they capture, I don't know how they do it. They knock Davis unconscious. He's on the ground. And they're going to use the black kryptonite to separate them, right? And yes. Somehow get
like
Doomsday.
Like an egg yolk from an egg white.
So they separate them, you know, Chloe does, and all of a sudden wild Doomsday comes out, and he's kicking their asses. And for some reason, even though he's ripped people apart, Clark shows up, and they're all just unconscious on the ground with, like, a little blood spatter on their forehead.
Yeah,
so
I also thought it was funny that he looked like a guy with a gray sock on his head.
He's, like, had pantyhose over his head with horns, I think.
Yeah, it looks so bad.
I don't understand why he took Green Arrow, Impulse, and Black Canary, and Chloe, and he just bopped them all on the head. It looked like, I'm just going to, like that, and they're all unconscious. So Doomsday, he's going
nuts.
They
got a little carried away with their duck, duck, goose game.
Doomsday's going nuts downtown. He's got a little girl. He's going to smash a little girl till Clark saves her.
Oh, my God. Don't do it, Doomsday.
There's a scene. It's the clumsiest directed scene I've ever seen in my life. Clark saves the little girl, lays her down. He goes, "Don't worry. It's going to be." And she's like, "Ah!" And he turns around and Doomsday's right there, and he picks Clark up. So he's like shaking Clark violently, like shaking baby syndrome or whatever. And at the same part,
this is what I was going to do to that child.
That little girl's face is right up to the camera in the corner while Clark is at the back getting shaken violently. And she's going, "Ah!" like screaming in the camera. It was so weird.
Yeah, she attended the Eliza Dushku School of Acting.
So, okay, this Doomsday, finally, Clark versus Doomsday. This fight's going to kick ass. He throws.
Right.
Remember what I said? The only way you fight on Smallville is to throw each other. So he takes Clark and he throws him into the Talon, smashes the Talon. He comes in. He flies through the air, lands. He's going to crush Clark. But Clark digs in his feet into the ground where it's like cracking the floor. And he goes, pushes straight up, flies up, does an arc, lands, boom, right in that place where the hole is, I guess. They don't show that. They just show him crash into it, and the whole place just blows up. Everything's spectacular model that they blew up somewhere in some parking lot, it looked like.
In Toronto.
Little miniature.
In Toronto.
And,
or Vancouver.
And that's it. Doomsday's gone. Later on, Clark shows up, and it's just like, what happened? What happened to you and Doomsday? And it's like, it's successful. So not before, cut to Chloe.
We couldn't show it on camera.
It was so awesome, it could not be contained.
Yeah, we couldn't figure out how to film this shit, so man, use your imagination.
The way it was written on the paper.
No, cut to Chloe. Chloe,
it's
Jimmy.
So much better in your mind.
Jimmy takes
you know,
Chloe
like
to their penthouse. He takes her to the penthouse where they were going to live when they got married. And Davis is unconscious. We don't know what's going on with him. And she's like, "What is this place, Jimmy? This is the place where I wanted us to live. It was the perfect place for you. It's overlooking the whole city. And you could always look up and see our home and you'd be safe. And everything's great. I've always loved you." And he kisses her. And then all of a sudden he's like, turns her around. Friggin' Davis has shoved a pipe right through Jimmy. He's killed Jimmy, basically. And he's like, "I thought you loved me, Chloe." She's like, "But we separated you from the monster." He's like, "Yeah, there's nothing left.
I love the monster, not you, Davis."
"Don't you understand? The monster was awesome."
Chloe says, "I thought I loved you, but really, I love the idea of saving you." So,
you whore.
So he's going to kill her, but Jimmy, he jumps up and one last breath shoves him onto a skewer, and Davis is now dead. Then Jimmy says he always loved Chloe, and he drops dead too. And you're wondering, what was the whole point of the season?
Yeah. It's like, how does Jimmy drop dead? He's...
Well, I'll cut to that.
Yeah, exactly.
At the funeral. Here we go. At the funeral, she meets Jimmy's little brother and gives him his camera and says...
And guess what Jimmy's little brother's wearing? A bow tie.
Exactly. He's going to be the new Jimmy Olsen. Remember, in the comics, Clark Kent's a lot older when he meets Jimmy Olsen.
That's right.
So this is the real Jimmy Olsen. And is his name James right now? Or did his dad name all of his kids
Jimmy?
I don't
even think they referred to him as a name because they just went, oh, you're Jim's little brother.
They just call him Kid or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
hey, kid.
But
hey, kid.
After all of this, Clark just wanted to save Davis, and it turned out Davis was still an asshole anyway, which didn't seem like that at all. Didn't he seem like a nice guy who just had this
monster
inside?
Yeah, exactly. It was so out of character.
They just turned him into, now he's a killer. It didn't make any sense.
Just to get rid of a character.
And he turned on Chloe. He was going to kill her now, the only person that cared about him or whatever. It made no sense at all. It was just a way to finish the season. So let's check this out. Clark has had a change of heart here.
God, I'm so emo.
No, that's not it.
That's Clark.
I've always tried to forget I was an alien. Or a creature. I've always tried to pretend I was human. I was raised to believe it was my Kryptonian part that was dangerous, Chloe, but I was wrong. It's my human side. The side that gets attached. The side that makes decisions based on emotions. That's my enemy. Davis proved that to me.
So because of some psychopath, you're going to cut the rest of us out of your life? Clark. Human emotion is what made you the hero that you are today.
They're what's stopping me from being the hero I could be. It's what the world needs now.
What are you saying?
Clark Kent is dead.
No! No, it's okay.
Goodbye, Chloe.
They did. When he said goodbye, Chloe, slow-mo as he's walking out. And her like,
nice.
Oh! Didn't you love that slow-mo, Bill?
Yeah, and he fades away.
Oh, that, he doesn't walk out the door. He just disappears.
Fades away.
Did that mean he went and papers blow? So anyway, the whole show's over. It was completely gay. And hey, cut back to Tess. Remember her? Somebody's got her orb. What's going on? Is there some kind of poltergeist in her house?
There's a
So she runs outside, and who did she see standing there, Bill? I have no idea, but he's standing over the...
Well, I guess he likes to announce himself by repeatedly saying, Zod! Zod!
Looks like a poltergeist.
Zod! And standing in the middle of a gigantic Z. So I think
that he burned into her lawn.
Zod.
How's she going to get that up? That grass is going to take forever.
I know, that stuff
looks like a poltergeist.
You're never going to be able to use that grass repair. reseed it.
So it ends with him going, Zod! Or whatever. And it's just like, whatever.
Yeah, I was like, oh, they're bringing him back? Great.
And I got to tell you, after watching the Fringe finale, Dollhouse finale, hell, even the Celebrity Apprentice finale, the Lost finale, and watching Smallville, that whole battle with Doomsday was so hilarious with the little girl's face in the camera. It was so friggin' stupid.
Yeah, and all they, and it's so typical Smallville because they don't know how to choreograph a fight, so they just use slow-mo.
And they do better fights than Heroes, but I'm going to say Heroes wasn't as pain-inducing as this.
No, it wasn't. It was bad, but it wasn't as bad.
It was bad in a different way.
Yeah.
I was hoping, I was so bored with the Doomsday stuff, I was like, maybe they'll cut over to Lois and show her in the future. I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
But then I was like, wait, they'd have to build futuristic sets. They're not going to show that, right?
I was hoping they'd show her in like a Barbarella outfit.
Yeah, something like that. No, we got to wait till next season. So anyway, I'm sure Smallville has been picked up again because CW's got nothing else to air. But let's go ahead and talk about the Lost finale. Steven, I hope you saw the Lost finale. Bill, I hope you saw the Lost finale.
2 hours of awesomeness.
Lost Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cruz or whatever.
Cruz.
Those dudes know how to do a finale to a show. The last, I don't know how many seasons. Even, you know, the second season, which I thought had a lot of problems, even the finale to that season was really good. They know how to do freaking finales. I think season one was the only one that was kind of like, nah, but it was okay. But this finale blew me away because it starts out with Jacob. There he's doing the, what do you call that, with the little machine with the fabric?
Oh, he's weaving. Or he's actually creating.
He's doing looming. Yeah.
Looming. Yeah,
and he uses that to do the hieroglyphics on the wall or whatever. And he's also fishing.
Yeah.
And he's cooking. Looks really nice.
Frying some red snapper. Very tasty.
And you see a boat on the horizon. All of a sudden, this other dude shows up.
Hey, that's a pirate boat. Looks like BlackRock.
Right. And this other dude shows up because you brought them here, didn't you? And he goes, well, no, first he's like, I know why you're here. It's because of that, right? And he goes, you brought them here, right? And they're kind of talking about how, why are you doing this? You're doing it just to prove me wrong. And he's like, well, you are wrong. And he goes, they're just going to come here and cause chaos and kill and all that. So it's very interesting. And he goes, you know I want to kill you, right? To the guy we learn is Jacob. And he says, yes. And he goes, one day I'll find a loophole. What's going on there? Camera pans up. It shows us the statue. How cool was that? I was like, when that showed the statue, I was like, awesome. It's like, yeah, thank you. Thank you, TV show. You don't disappoint me. And I got to say, the whole buildup of what Jack needs to do, at first they're against him, you know, Juliet, and she sides with Kate, and they escape out of the sub. At first, you know, I was like, how are they going to get out of the sub? It made sense how they got out of the sub.
Yeah.
No big deal there. And I love the scene where Jack and Saeed go, and they dress in the, they're like, we'll hide in plain sight, and the shootout happens. Because Jack looks pissed off as he's shooting the guys. He really wants to friggin' kill these people.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, the shootout was cool.
Uncle Rico, he shoots Saeed. I'm sorry, he's Uncle Rico. Shoots Saeed. Basically, Ben, he's Napoleon. He's.
Hey, that's the guy that killed my kid.
So he shoots him, and then I love that the van shows up, and it's got Hurley and Miles. They're there to save him and drive away. Totally cool. There's so many moments. But at the same time in the show, they keep doing flashbacks to when Jacob was visiting the different characters.
Right.
At first, what was the first one? It was Kate. He visits Kate as Kate is stealing.
As a small child.
Yeah, lunchbox with, I believe, I didn't know this at the time, but it is her friend with the toy airplane. Remember her childhood friend that later died? That's what I've heard anyway. And Jacob, the guy's like, I'm going to call your parents. I'm calling the cops. No tolerance policy here in my convenience store. And the guy's like, don't do that. I'll pay for it. And he's like, Kate, promise me you'll never steal again. And he touches her on the nose. And that's one thing they keep showing us, how he keeps touching each person. He goes to Jin and son's wedding. Yeah. And I love he put his hand on each of their shoulders and told them, don't take love for granted. And I like that scene where she's like, who is that? He goes, I have no idea, but his Korean is impeccable. And Jack, I love that scene because it goes back to the very first pilot episode when he's talking about how he cut that lady's nerves.
Dorsal sac.
Yeah, the sac, and she's going to be paralyzed, and he was freaking out, and his dad's telling him to count to five. He's never known fear like that, but he pulled it together. He tries to buy a candy bar that gets stuck in the machine. An Apollo bar. And Jacob buys him. He goes, it just needed a little push. And he touches him, too. He visits Hurley. But before that, who else did he visit? Oh, Sawyer. That's what I was thinking about. Sawyer, when he's a little boy.
Oh, yeah.
He's at the funeral for his parents. And Sawyer's writing that little note, like, Mr. Sawyer, I know what you did. And his pen runs out of ink. And Jacob walks up and he hands him a new pen. And he's like, I'm really sorry about what happened. And then Sawyer's uncle comes along and he wants to read the letter and he goes, promise me you'll never finish that letter. Whatever happened, happened. You just got to move on. Which I thought was very interesting. And also Locke. I love that scene. He's reading that book and Locke fall in the background and he walks up and he's like, I'm really sorry this happened to you. It's going to be okay. So all that's going on, right? All this.
Well, actually, I think he revives Locke.
Yeah, he goes. He's like John, touches. And he's like, whoa, like kind of like shakes out of like he's dead. Did he bring him back to life, or did he just?
I don't know. I honestly think he did.
I was kind of like.
It looked like he kind
well,
of.
That's
like,
why I was like wondering if that is that where he got paralyzed.
Yeah, right. That is where he. Yeah, got paralyzed.
I mean, he didn't die.
Right. Yeah, and remember, I don't know what season it is, when they showed when he fell and landed, that's how he got paralyzed. So that was that exact moment. So also, here's a moment with Hurley. Now, what was interesting about Locke, and he visited Sawyer and Kate when they were kids, but he visited these other people, Saeed too. Saeed's crossing the street with...
Yeah, and he causes Saeed's wife to die.
Well, he just lets it happen.
Or he lets it happen, yeah.
Because Saeed would have died too, we see. But he says, excuse me, sir, I need directions. And he stops and he turns around and then Nadi's hit. But if Saeed would have been walking with her, he would have been killed too. Because remember, we found out earlier in the season that the guy who killed her wasn't a hit-and-run accident. The guy was trying to kill Saeed.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So he basically saved his life there, even though he's really hates his life.
Yeah, miserable guy.
Let's listen to this scene. Where Hurley talks to Jacob, and then Miles has the best, he has one of the best moments of clarity in the show, I thought. Let's check this out.
So what were you in for?
Excuse me?
Jail. I was there because I killed 3 people. Well, I didn't really. I guess they figured it out. What about you?
Well, I wasn't in jail.
Well, then what were you doing sitting outside a prison in a cab?
I was waiting for you, Hugo.
Oh. Then you must be dead.
I'm definitely not dead.
What do you want from me?
I want to know why you won't go back to the island.
Because I'm cursed?
Does that sound?
Uh-huh. That's why the plane crashed. My friends died. Libby, Charlie. And now they visit me. And I can't make it stop.
What if you weren't cursed? What if you were blessed?
How do you mean blessed?
Well, you get to talk to the people you've lost. It seems like a pretty wonderful thing to me.
Sure, it's wonderful, except for the part where I'm crazy.
I've got some news for you, Hugo, and you're just going to have to take my word on this. You are not crazy.
Who are you, dude?
I'm just up here on the corner. A Jet Airways flight 316 out of LAX leaves in 24 hours. All you have to do is be on that plane. It's your choice, Hugo. You don't have to do anything you don't want to.
Wait! You forgot your guitar.
It's not my guitar. Don't worry, dude. Everything will be fine when Jack changes the future. Or the past. One of those.
Can I ask you something, LaFleur?
There ain't no more LaFleur, Enos. Go ahead, shoot.
Has it occurred to any of you that your buddy's actually going to cause the thing he says he's trying to prevent? Perhaps that little nuke is the incident. So maybe the best thing to do is nothing? I'm glad you all thought this through.
Okay. You know, that occurred to us. Maybe this is what always happened.
Right.
But I don't think it would be, because that would be kind of lame, wouldn't it? Especially now that they showed that Jacob has been involved at a certain point in their lives. Before they came back the island, and also Kate Sawyer when they were little kids. So, I don't know. There's a theory about that. There's a lot of questions brought up. But also, you got to go back to the Locke and Ben and Richard, and they're heading to go see Jacob. And also, we've got Bram and the chick, who I call the land party. They're also heading there, too. And I love the scene with the lawnmower man, Jeff Fahey. And they're like, should we show him? Yeah, open it up. He might be worthy or something. Like, what are they talking about? They open it up, and I love how he's like, I wish you wouldn't have shown me that. Whatever's in there.
I like when he's laying there unconscious and they're talking about him.
Yeah, he's like, he's awake. He's like, I'm wondering what, I forget what they say, but.
I was wondering what you were going to do with me if.
Well, what am I worthy for or something? Yeah. And they go to Jacob's cabin and they see that the ash has been interrupted. The ash is moved. And you got to think, like, the ash that was circling around the cabin, perhaps that was a prison of some kind, keeping something in a circle, whatever, and it's been broken. So they go into the cabin. She said somebody else was using it. And there's a picture of the foot on a tapestry, and it's of the statue. So they head to the statue, too. And Locke is, you know, he's been real cryptic ever since he got back. How is he back or whatever? And Richard's kind of weirded out about him making these demands. He doesn't know what to do. And he finally is like, Ben's coming with me to go see Jacob. He's like, no, that's not the way it's done. You don't do that. And he's like, no, I'm bringing him. And he's told Ben, I forgot about this, he says, you're going to kill Jacob, not me. He's like, why would I kill Jacob? And he kind of tells him about how Jacob has pretty much dissed Ben the entire time he's been in charge. He never came to you. I thought it was cool that he brought up the time he took Locke to the cabin. He goes, why did you shoot me after that? And he was pissed off because he'd never seen or heard Jacob before. And when shit started flying around the room, it really freaked him out. And when he realized that he said, save me or whatever to Locke, it really annoyed the shit out of him. So that's why he shot Locke or whatever. He was jealous. Obviously, he's got a lot of problems, Ben does.
And I have a feeling that that person in the house that was to save me in the prison or whatever was the other guy? The other guy from the beginning of the show that was looking for the loophole.
And also, I've started thinking about different things like, okay, the fact that when... okay, we know Jacob lies at the foot of the statue. He who will save us all or something like that.
Yeah, what lies in the shadow of the statue? He who will save us all or redeem us all or something.
Now, the smoke monster, I've rewatched that opening scene when the guy walks up to Jacob. And he appears there. I mean, he's just standing there. They don't show him walk up. He's just all of a sudden behind Jacob. And he goes, I know why you're... You know, I know why you're here, because of that boat or whatever. He shows up to check it out, right? And I forgot what he says. Something real cryptic. And he goes, what do they want or something? And Jacob tells him, well, you'll find that out. Which makes me think that that guy is the smoke monster.
Yeah.
That it's his job to go and interact with the people, find out what they're all about, who's worthy or not, for whatever.
Since the smoke monster can take form of whatever.
Now, this makes a lot of sense, being that, remember when Ben went to be judged, and he went and the smoke monster came, Locke disappeared for a while. And he didn't come back till the smoke monster left. And even, remember when Christian Shepherd appeared to them, then he was gone, then Locke came back. It was like... He was appearing as Locke when he needed to. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's why he threatened Ben as Ben's daughter, saying, don't touch a hair on his head or and I'll come after you.
Maybe he manipulates people in some way, because I was thinking back to this. When Richard took little Ben to the temple, he said he will never be the same again. He'll have no memory of this. But then I started thinking about when Rousseau, her people, the guys she was with, they went under there. When they came out, they were all weird. Remember how they were like, I forget what they were saying. They were kind of rambling about how you shouldn't be here. Or, you know, they all basically killed each other off, right? Mm-hmm. All of Rousseau's crewmates, including her boyfriend or whatever. So something happens to you when you go in the temple. So that's not in Jacob's power, I think, is what they've showed us. That has nothing to do with Jacob. It's a different thing. And so basically Ben and Locke, they go inside and Jacob's in there. The dude's just sitting in there. What the hell? You know, it's like didn't you guys think that he was going to be some spirit or something embedded in rock or some shit? I don't know. Just something.
Yeah, you didn't think he would just appear as a human.
He's just a dude and... And as soon as he sees Locke, he knows he's not Locke. He's like, oh, you found the loophole. He's like, okay, do it, Ben. And he starts talking to Ben. And Ben's like, you know, I served your orders. You know, I'd get lists from Richard. I'd do all this stuff. He's being a whiny little bitch, isn't he?
Yeah.
You never once talked to me. And when I asked to, they kept saying, you've got to wait. You got to wait to see him. So, you know, that's bullshit. I want to know, what about me, Jacob? And I love the way Jacob says, what about you? Like, what about you? And I think
who
the whole...
Who are you, you know?
So, basically, they showed Ben. He's like a spoiled little brat, isn't he?
Yeah. He's always looking for the attention, the proper...
The what about
encouragement.
Me?
Yeah.
He wants everything now. And I almost thought Jacob was going to say, well, you're talking to me now, you know, or something like that. Like, maybe this is when you were supposed to, and it would change... It would set a course on your life. Either you go this way or this way. And after he said, what about you, his idea was just stab him. And it's interesting. Jacob says they're coming, right? And Locke, whoever he is, kicks him in the fire. That was pretty hardcore, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So you cut back to Jack and Sawyer and Kate. They've decided after, you know, Sawyer beat the shit out of Jack, they decided they're going to go do it. They're going to go drop the bomb in there, and there's a shootout and stuff.
I like the couple in the forest.
Oh, yeah, Bernard and Rose. And they're like, oh, damn, they found us.
Yeah, that was a great moment of levity for the show because it just showed that, you know, you have these two people that are just trying to make a life for themselves, and then there's Jack and Kate and Sawyer, and, you know, and they're always looking for a fight.
Like that's what, yeah, they made sense, and they're like, dude, we just want to live. We don't care.
Do you remember the episode where Locke is dragged into the cave by the polar bear? No, it's Mr. Echo's been taken into the cave by the polar bear. Locke and Charlie, they go in there to save him. They find Adam, what everyone calls Adam and Eve, the man and the woman skeletons. Everyone's thinking now that that is
Bernard
and Rose, but who knows? Because if they did alter the past and all this stuff never happened, then they could never even go to the island in the first place. So anyway, that's confusing as hell, isn't it?
Well, that's a lot of, like, inconsequential stuff.
Yeah, it's just like Easter eggs in a way.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's cool, you know? And it is. This show has a lot of cool shit like that.
Yeah, but until we know anything for sure, it's just speculation.
It's just a speculation. It's guessing game, like, who is Jacob and who is... the guy, is the guy his brother? Are they rival brothers like Jacob and Esau? I don't know.
Yeah, Jacob and Esau.
Or you had a good theory, Bill. You think they're Egyptian gods?
Yeah, they are. There was something to do with the statue. There's two different theories.
But also the island and his electromagnetic properties is kind of, it's kind of weird. It's almost like the show. It's always faith versus science. You know what I mean? Kind of like against each other. Mm. If you would say they're gods, they're like these kind of deities, but there's this weird scientific phenomenon going on the island at the same time, right?
Sure.
So I'm thinking it's almost a grab bag of all this information and ideas and mythology and stuff poured in to a construct. I won't even say it, Bill, but I'm just saying that you can't write off that. Steven, I'm not reading. Steven, I want to ask you this. If you found out that, say it was player one versus player two.
Spy versus spy. I'm not even going to dignify myself with a response to that.
Oh, sorry. But the coolest part, I love when the incident is happening and all the shit's getting sucked in just like it did to the hatch. The chain wraps around Juliet. She's getting sucked in. And, you know, Sawyer's like, you're not leaving me, girl. And I realized that they did a flashback of Juliet where Jacob didn't visit her. What does that mean? They didn't visit Miles either.
Nope.
Which is interesting. She, when that shows that she wakes up at the bottom of the hole, I was like, oh, dude, that's awful. She's like bleeding to death down there. But then you look over, she looks over and there's the bomb. It never went off. That was such a great scene.
Yeah.
Because you realize, oh, shit, it never went off. This is just the electromagnetic pulling everything in. The bomb never went off or anything. It was a dud or whatever.
Or you figured the electromagnetic pull did something.
I wasn't
going off.
Yeah, it was supposed to detonate on impact, but it was probably keeping the detonator away from the charge.
Yeah.
So she's just banging on it. Son of a bitch! And I love it. It goes white.
Yeah.
Lost. Nice. It's over.
And then it's black on white instead of white on black.
That was so freaking cool. And I stood up and I was like, I really like this show. And your mind is just racing after that. What is all the shit that I saw? What the hell's going on here and here? What is Jacob and the guy? Oh, we didn't talk about the reveal of they open the box, they dump out Locke's dead body. That's not Locke in there. And it's like, oh, shit. It's a Locke imposter. And you realize it's the guy, it's got to be the guy we saw at the beginning who said,
yeah,
you know it is because he said, you found your loophole. Because a long time ago, he said, I'm going to find a loophole. I'm going to kill your ass because I hate you for some reason. Maybe it's like we exist in the island. And you notice they went out of their way to show us that Jacob, I'm not going to tell you what to do. You make the decision for yourself. Kate, please promise me you will never steal again. Sawyer, you know, I don't know what that was there. It's almost his uncle influenced things more than anything when he says,
don't finish the letter.
He says, whatever happened, just happened. And that's exactly what he told Jack. He said, Jack, last year is when my dad killed my mom and himself. I could have hopped on the sub, gone there and prevented it. And he's like, why didn't you? He goes, because whatever happened, happened. It just happened. You got to live with it or whatever. I don't know about that. It would be hard to even fight that urge to do that. But I just, man, it was really cool. It was an awesome finale. Wasn't it?
They're just too
much
stuff.
I think that, you know, the way it happens is obviously that guy lost his corporeal form. You know, that's why he needed Locke to come back. And I think that Jacob and him were never really, that's who they were. I think that now that Jacob is supposedly dead, it's just that that shell he was using is dead. And that he now has to go through the same process to find a new corporeal form.
Or did he already? Remember what he said? He said that they're coming. And the dude, the Locke dude looks kind of annoyed by that. Because they went out of their way to show us that Jacob went and got involved in the lives at one point and touched each person. What did he do to them? I don't know. I have no idea, honestly. Because it's all just a guessing game. But another thing is, he said to Ben, he goes, when he's dead, everything's going to change. You know, everything's going to be different. So whatever is going to happen there. I don't know. It's like, what is going to be the first shot of the season premiere? I don't know. Remember?
No idea. It's going to be someone opening their eye.
Yeah. But do you remember what it was at the beginning of this season? It was down in the orchid. It was Chang down there. There was like, we hit something. And all of a sudden they show Daniel there and they're like, huh? You know, it's like, what the hell's going on? What is he doing there?
Yeah, it's either, you know, going to be them on the airplane that originally crashed.
It lands? I don't know. But another thing is, you know, when that Lost is a game site at Go On Bill, the guy predicted, he said,
well, no, I don't think it's not going to land.
No, I'm not either. I'm saying maybe it will.
Something else is going to happen. It's still going to crash.
I don't know.
Differently.
But the guy said that on every finale, somebody will go down a hole. He goes, they go down the rabbit hole. And Juliet went down the hole. So that's interesting. It's like it's always triggered the same way. I don't know what the hell's going on, but anyway.
But if that bomb does dissipate that electromagnetic spot, then it won't affect the plane.
Right. And it would never. But also remember, Daniel says, time finds a way to correct itself.
True.
That's what I'm saying. The plane is still going to crash, but it'll crash different. It won't crash because of the magnetic force.
Here's what I think would be cool. When Daniel touched them, he gave them the power to whatever they come back to have all the memories of what happened before. So this time, they will remember that they were in the past. I don't know. That'd be interesting. But I got nothing.
It gets so deep and complicated that we could ramble on forever.
Yeah, like the statue. Bill and I, we looked the statue up online. It's something called Sobek, the crocodile god.
It's Tararet.
Yeah, I honestly think
it could be one of two. It's like it's either a head of a hippopotamus or the head of an alligator.
I've looked at it several times. I think it's a crocodile.
Like
it's a crocodile head.
Or a crocodile.
Now, that isn't to say that there haven't been other statues on the island that are just torn down now, you know? I don't know. Whatever. Let's do the news.
Well, what if there were two statues, one crocodile and one of the...
they never showed the full temple either of the dude. Huh. I don't know what the hell's going on, but it's all I got to know is this. Lost, when it's over, you're still thinking about it. It's awesome.
Yeah.
When Smallville's over, I'm like, why did I waste an hour of my life watching that? All right, Bill, you ready to do some news?
Yeah, I'm going to hit the bathroom first, though, so go ahead and play the theme, and I'll be right back.
All right.
is ridiculous, okay? I'll go.
All right, Bill, are you back yet? So how about that lost finale, Steven? Yeah, I'm sure Bill will be back at any moment. Oh, good Lord. Well, I don't even know what that means.
Polka? I hardly even know him.
No, but seriously, when I was talking about how the Egyptian stuff and the science stuff, the electromagnetic, the time travel, it doesn't mean
that... It's Atlantis.
No, it's not. It doesn't mean everything's at face value. Like, if you look at one thing, the statue, oh, it's something to do with Egypt, Egyptian. No, that doesn't mean that. No. Like, oh, Jacob is some kind of god. Maybe, but that's not what the whole storyline's about. That's not what it's all about. What I'm saying is it's a world created with all those elements in it, meaning it could be a game. Exactly. You know, like
Jacob's the MCP.
It's always white against black. It's always good against bad, or it's player versus another player. Somebody's always trying to win something. The guy's trying to find a loophole to break the rules to get at Jacob, who's in this position of power. I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing up.
The other guy's a hacker trying to get
yeah.
into the
room.
I have no response to that.
Yeah. Bill is taking a long time to urinate, isn't he?
What's the usual time? I don't know.
I hope he had a hell of a piss.
I did.
Don't start losing it. Come on.
Oh, okay.
It felt terrific. What's wrong with my mouth? Yeah, that sounded like it.
All right,
Bill.
It
all just kind of came out at once.
I'm glad you're back, Bill.
What's up, Dirty
Dog? Glad I am back.
All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this evening?
All right, let me pull it up here. All right, Angels and Demons premieres this week.
Oh, yeah.
Or this weekend. The Dan Brown adapted book. And Stellan Skarsgård, what is he exactly?
An actor?
Swedish? Yeah. Yeah, he's Swedish.
He's Swedish?
Well, he doesn't like Dan Brown.
Oh.
He's in the movie, but he don't like the author.
Why?
He said, I think Dan Brown is a terribly bad writer. But he has cliffhangers after every chapter, which make you continue reading. It's like eating peanuts at a bar. You don't like them, but you keep eating them anyways.
Forget it.
Ouch.
That's pretty harsh, dude.
But I guess he plays the head of the Swiss Guard in the film adaptation of Angels and Demons.
The Swiss Guard?
Yeah, that's the Pope's, like, secret service.
Okay.
Come on, man.
Portland, Maine called in bomb threat. It caused an evacuation of Martin's Point in Brunswick for a short time Wednesday. Turned out to be the wrong number. Around 11:30 a.m. Wednesday, a receptionist at Martin's Point Medical Center picked up the phone and heard what she thought was, there's a bomb nearby. The report went to the police, who responded with a bomb-detecting dog and evacuated the building for 45 minutes. Nothing was found. They did a little investigation, and it turns out the call was placed by a girl who was trying to reach her mother at work, but dialed the wrong number. What she asked was, is my mom nearby? The receptionist asked the girl to repeat herself, and the girl again said, is my mom nearby?
Is a bomb nearby? That's what
you
thought she
had? Yeah, a bomb is nearby.
After interviewing all the parties involved, it was said that it was clear once the girl realized she had the wrong number, she hung up. But the call led to the area being searched for a bomb.
No!
So I think the receptionist at Martin's Point Medical Center needs to get her hearing checked.
I'm thinking so.
Mom doesn't exactly sound like bomb.
Well, I guess she kept the people busy for the day. Yeah.
Your mom.
Okay, go. All right. Summit County, Colorado, a man with a history of violence was arrested on the Interstate 70 median last week after swinging a set of nunchucks in front of a police officer. He was wearing a full-length trench coat and declared he was kicked off a bus in Silverthorne while on his way to Denver, or from Denver to Los Angeles. The man said he had been riding in the bus when he saw a girl with the swine flu and attempted to eliminate her by grabbing her throat.
Holy shit, I don't think that's how it works.
Another passenger hit the man, and he was thrown off the bus before he got into a fight with a gang at a gas station.
What?
Yeah, this nice. Authorities found the man after receiving a call that he was in the I-70 median, waving his arms at cars and screaming. As the officer approached, the man turned his back, hiding his hands. When the man turned around, the officer spotted the nunchucks in his pants waistband. Asked if he was carrying the weapon, the man responded, "Yeah, I'm a karate master." The man began to swing the nunchucks around his upper body. Nice. The officer aimed a taser X-26 at the man, decided he was too far away, and began reaching for his handgun. The karate master dropped the nunchucks. The karate master dropped his nunchucks and began to walk away.
Awesome.
I guess he knew that you don't bring nunchucks to a gunfight. A knife and some marijuana was discovered on the man, in addition to the traditional Asian weapon.
The Asian weapon?
Yes. En route to the Summit County Jail, the man told the officer that he was 468 years old and was being hunted across the country by priests, nuns, and monks.
I know that, dude.
He said he had just gotten out of prison after a prior assault in which he was shot in the foot by a Denver police department.
This guy has got an exciting life.
I know, man. What a story.
That dude knows how to party.
I guess you're not allowed to own nunchucks in Colorado. So they've got him on that. Oh, and he also talked to imaginary people while riding to the jail.
Fork over them nunchucks.
Wow. Background check showed assault, violence charges, and several felony convictions in the past 10 years. The karate master was booked with charges of possession of a prohibited weapon, felony menacing, felony weapons possession by a previous offender, and possession of less than 1 ounce of marijuana. I'm a karate master! I'd like to know how he came up that he was 468 years old and hunted by priests, nuns, and monks.
Nothing a few beers can't fix, right?
A study in the UK has discovered that monkeys, just like humans, have regrets when they're playing Deal or No Deal.
Yip-yapping British.
Wow.
Yeah, when given a task similar to the popular Channel 4 show, their brains registered missed opportunities. Just as contestants on Deal or No Deal wonder what might have been, the monkeys became wistful when realizing their error. That's a monkey that just opened the $1 million briefcase.
Have you ever watched a show where people just go one turn too many and lose everything?
Well, it just shows that we could watch that show with monkeys and it would be just as entertaining.
They always say that gamble is more exciting than actually winning. Okay, will I? And no.
You can win one banana or a million bananas.
What are you talking about, man?
I totally want to see this now.
Yeah,
I want to see Monkey Deal or No Deal.
It's got to be food, right? Bananas.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right, a Maryland man who rode his bicycle 180 miles to have sex with a Scranton teen he met on the internet will serve 1 to 4 years in prison. What the hell is he riding a bike 180 miles to have sex?
Wow.
William
should have
Wagner
taken him
20-
out the back and shot him a long time ago.
William Wagner, 26, met the 15-year-old girl through the social networking website MySpace.
Oh.
In June, he biked to Scranton to meet the teen. He pleaded guilty to unlawful contact with a minor. He slept at the Pine Brook baseball field, Sanderson Avenue, in Green Place, where he went out while he was in Scranton. He took the teen to the baseball field and had intercourse with her there several times. Wow.
Yikes.
I got a really great place. Let's go to the baseball field. It's sexy.
No, but he was copying Damone, wasn't he?
No,
wait, that was the beach house. Or the
did he? I wonder if he took her to the field on his bike. Check out my badass bike.
Not really. No.
I'm thinking of Jennifer Jason Leigh's character. She goes to the dugout.
Oh, shit, you're right. She has sex in the dugout.
Right, on some older guy.
Yeah, the
that was the guy.
The stereo guy.
Don't catch me.
Yikes. This is
after he left
sick.
Scranton, the girl told her parents that she had sex with him, who reported it to the police. Aw. Well, she had to go and ruin a good thing. Terrible.
Dude.
All right.
Hey, we seem to do a lot of these stories, Bill. Statutory rape stories.
Statutory rape stories? I just think it's funny that the guy rode 180 miles on a bike to have sex.
God, I'm so emo.
You're right. Guys will do that. Hop on Schwinn?
Yeah.
Schwinn.
It was a Diamondback. When two men broke into Wanda Bray's house, she defended herself with what she had. A bowl of chili and some household objects.
Dude, she improvised.
Yeah, totally. The woman fought them off, said Captain David Honeycutt. Nice.
Shit.
That's real sound. The 58-year-old Bray threw a bowl of homemade chili and got after them with a broom.
Please tell me it was piping hot.
I'm sure it was. Authorities later arrested three men in connection with the home invasion robbery. Holy crap, three guys?
Three alarm
with a bowl
of chili
and a broom? The robbery occurred about 6 p.m. Tuesday in Claiborne County. After Bray threw the household objects at the robbery suspects, they fled the scene. Victim told the robbers ran into her home and demanded her medication. They probably got away with some blood pressure pills.
Fork nice. Over the pills, bitch.
Oh, man, this is awesome. Score. Blood pressure pills.
Nitroglycerin tablets.
Now we can take them and feel lightheaded. All right, Kansas City police this morning used a taser gun on a nude man after he fled the scene of his overturned car.
Nice. Huh?
Police answered a call about an overturned vehicle in a creek bed. When police arrived at the scene, the man was being treated for a gash to his head. At one point, the man boarded an ambulance for treatment, but when an officer turned his back to check the vehicle, the man leaped from the ambulance and started running down the middle of 59th Street in the nude. Police chased him about a block where the man's escape was blocked by bushes in the backyard. The man described as 6'5", weighing 200 pounds, started growling and reciting the Lord's Prayer.
Nice. The guy was dude, I get to use my taser today.
Holy shit, we got another. Police say they warned him several times, but he continued to resist their efforts to subdue him before the taser was used. In Pullman, Washington, police said two men suffered injuries after they were beaten after urinating on what they thought was an unoccupied vehicle on Friday morning.
Hey, it's empty.
You don't. Police said the owner got out of the car and assaulted the two men with a golf club.
Whoa.
Now, back off and let me pee.
Yeah. One of the men suffered a possible arm fracture, was transported
Holy
to Pullman
shit.
Regional Hospital. Police Sergeant Dan Dorn said urinating in public is a crime, but the two men will probably not be cited in this case. police were trying to locate the owner of the car.
It's only natural you'd be so, Elmo.
And that's news for this week.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the news.
No problem.
Polka. I hardly even know him.
Oh, yikes. All right, guys. What do you say we do some DVDs? Why not? Ow!
Let's do some DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, standard definition! DVDs! Yeah! DVDs!
Cameron's really excited about the DVDs, isn't he?
He's going to go pick some up right away.
God damn it!
All right, what do we have in the DVDs?
What's up, why not kick off the DVDs for Tuesday, May 19th, 2009, with 24, Season 7.
Huh?
The moment it's over, go out and pick it up.
Awesome. Hey, I like the way they roll. If only every show would do that, how sweet would that be?
I know, that is pretty smart to release it the day after the season's over.
They did that with Redemption, too.
Yeah, they did.
I think they do it every season. How would you like to see that Dollhouse? I mean, Dollhouse. Yeah, or Dollhouse. Want to see the 13th episode? Tomorrow, go pick up the box DVD set. Huh? How sweet would that be?
I'd wait for somebody to post it online. It's not good enough.
Damn it, Frank!
Deserve a buy.
You don't think so?
No. I mean, it got better near the end of the season, but it's not really a buy.
That's not a word, sweetie.
Actually, it is, but that's okay.
Yeah.
All right, a classic shit movie, Billy Jack.
Oh, love Billy Jack. Come on.
Yeah.
All we are saying.
He's a warrior, right, a Steven? Mystic, a martyr.
If you're talking to Billy Jack, he's kind of getting annoyed with you, you see him take his shoes off, you better start running, man.
Yeah.
Apologize and back away.
He's about to kick your ass.
Screw his small judo man.
Yeah, he doesn't like violence, does he?
No. What was he? He was like a half Native American.
When I was a kid, I was like, why are they being so mean to those kids? I never understood it. It's like, why are they being such dicks to those kids? I mean, seriously, what's going on?
Yes, but he becomes the protector of
your
those
face
kids.
For free.
He was awesome, man. Love Billy Jack.
Billy Jack was awesome. Yeah, I've only seen it once or twice, but I've got to buy it. All right, and on Blu-ray, Pixar's A Bug's Life.
Nice. I've been waiting for the Pixar movies to start rolling out. Isn't Monsters, Inc. coming out too?
It should be here in a couple months. But, Bug's Life, which I enjoyed. A nice little new take on Seven Samurai. But I can't wait to see it in HD.
Oh, man. Are you kidding me? Because even the standard def DVD looks pretty awesome,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it does.
Well, I held off on buying that one.
I can't wait. Okay, here's all I want to know, Bill, because the Pixar movies are like, you got to own them. We own WALL-E on Blu-ray. How much is Bug's Life going to cost?
Well, if you were to buy it at like Best Buy,
right.
It would cost you $40. Ooh. If you bought it on Amazon, it would cost you $27.
Nice, much better.
Yeah, Amazon's much better when it comes to this stuff.
Awesome.
I don't buy any Blu-rays retail. You have to be insane.
So especially
to do that.
When they do the buy one get one free, are they specific?
Yeah, a lot
movies?
Of times Amazon does that buy two get one. Like this week, they even had every season of five seasons of Lost on Blu-ray. You buy all five, you get one free.
Awesome! I have the previous season. I got it for Christmas. That show is so gorgeous in HD, and on Blu-ray, it looks spectacular.
Yeah, it does.
It really does.
You know, because whenever you're watching it on, broadcast television, it's 720p.
Right.
to get that full 1080p.
And it's still, I mean, it looks great. It does look great every week.
It does.
Interesting.
I think ABC has the best looking HD.
They do. And, you know, have you ever noticed that 24 is really dark all the time?
It is. It's very dark and very grainy. Like they add a fake grain to it.
They like to use like a natural light look, but a lot of times I think the show's too dark.
Yeah, it is too dark. It absolutely is.
Yeah.
All right.
But Fringe looks great, though.
Yeah. Next DVD is Fanboys.
Ah, Fanboys!
Yes, the much-belabored Fanboys.
Yeah, it's finally out. Now, Bill, have you seen it yet?
I have seen it.
Are there any laughs in the movie?
Maybe one.
Oh, is it pretty bad?
Yeah, it's pretty terrible.
Is Harvey Weinstein not looking like such a dick anymore?
No, he's not. He absolutely is not. Because the movie is terrible. There's like one or two moments where I was like, hee hee hee, ha ha ha. Because
there's like little Star Wars references.
Yeah,
in there.
Because it's very geeky. But oh, is it painful?
Wow.
Like, and Seth Green has a couple cameos in it. And one of them, he plays like a Star Trek nerd, and they go to Omaha to the fictional birthplace of James T. Kirk. And they, like, basically get in a fight, and it's quite possibly one of the most painful things I've ever seen.
I thought James T. Kirk was born on a space shuttle.
New timeline.
Hmm. What are you talking about, man?
But, yeah, it's painful. It's really bad. And the whole cancer storyline don't work.
It's still in there?
Yeah, it's still in there. But they were right. They should have took that sucker out.
Wow.
Because it's just stupid. It's just like, it's like wedged in.
That's it.
Now, did they throw in the joke that they finally see the Phantom Menace and think it blows?
No. There is a joke, though, at the very end. It ends with them going, well, what if the movie sucks? And then it's over.
Oh.
Because the cancer kid sees it and doesn't say anything.
You belong in a psych unit.
They get in and then George Lucas lets the cancer kid see it.
Oh, George Lucas is in the movie?
No. But Danny McBride is, and he's the head of security that says George Lucas will let him see it.
Okay.
But it's really bad. You can tell it's a passion project, but the guys that wrote it are terrible.
They just didn't know what they were doing?
No, they had no idea.
Got doo-doo and chocolate over his hands.
So what I'm wondering is this, because I remember Harry Knowles, who's my Facebook buddy, by the way, he said he read the original script and it was brilliant. I don't even know why. It was funny one day, you know, when you first sign up to Facebook, it says, hey, would you like to scan your address book and your email? And I was like, sure, NIM Podcast, right? So it does it. And one day it says, Harry Knowles has approved you as a friend.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, huh? And maybe, I don't know, I never delete Gmail. You don't have to. You just keep a million Gmail emails. Am I right?
Yeah, I probably have like 10,000 of them.
So he did some kind of contest or something, and I sent in whatever to get some kind of
DVD
model of
something.
A guy, like a, I don't know, a Hellboy figurine or something. But anyway,
It was the Hellboy gun.
Yeah, the Hellboy gun. And I don't know. I thought that was funny. But Harry Knowles said that he read the first script and it was brilliant. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And that it had passion. It had a love of Star Wars. What happened to that? It just got lost in the making
actually,
of the film.
Actually, the supposed love of Star Wars in the movie just comes across as annoying after about 30 minutes.
That was a horrible thing to say.
Wow.
It's true.
Have you ever met anyone? I worked with this guy who started work, whatever. He's like, you know, just kind of, you mentioned Star Wars. Oh, you like Star Wars? And then he started talking and more about Star Wars. And it's just, and it's like, you come to a realization, I really don't like Star Wars that much.
I love Star Wars. I have figurines. I love the original trilogy. I have a lightsaber, all that shit. But you know what? If, you know, I'm not obsessed with it. I like reading the books, but it's just, it's a interest of mine. It's not a, you know, a hobby or a dedication. It's insane.
Right.
Awesome.
I guess there is the, someone can always like something way too much. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a time where you got to tap the brakes a little and go, okay, I'm getting a little carried away here. I shouldn't have spent my life savings on this piece of memorabilia or something like that, you know?
Well, you know, and I mean no insult to Andy, but that's kind of what he's coming across with the new Star Trek thing. He's so obsessed with it. He's so angry. I told him one day, I was like, dude, I wish I could sympathize with you, but I just don't get it.
Well, see, you know, the nearest I could come to, like I was saying, that I had a hatred of Alien 3 that could not be in any way talked down for me. It doesn't matter what points you would make of how Alien 3, hey, the cinematography is really good. Hey, David Fincher, he's doing this. No.
No, yeah.
This movie is a pile of shit, mainly because it shit all over aliens, okay?
Yep, it did.
It made the character of Newt. She's dead. The whole point of Aliens is kind of the mother-daughter relationship.
Exactly.
Ripley goes back to save her. You know, it's all that dynamic. For the beginning of Alien 3, Hicks is already dead. Newt's already dead. Bishop's already dead. I mean, it just made the... It was like, hey, aliens doesn't matter because they're all going to die anyway. It just...
Yeah.
It rubbed me the wrong way so badly. I don't care what points of like, well, it's interesting because of this. And Ripley, she comes to grips with the aliens inside her and she's got to sacrifice. Oh, screw you.
Yeah.
The movie sucks ass, all right?
And it's quite possibly one of the most over-the-top vulgar films I've ever seen.
Exactly.
The prison planet one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've all got...
With Rock.
Yeah, it's got Rock in it, and her head shaved. Hey, Sigourney Weaver shaved her head for the new Alien. Oh, that sounds interesting. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I can't even believe that she said, okay, let's do it.
Well, I think, okay, Alien 4 proves she'll say yes to just about anything.
Yeah, that Alien Resurrection was pretty terrible.
Wow, Steven. Can you believe
I'll
that?
I'll never be like, oh, cool, it's, you know, it's got the black guy from CSI and...
oh, yeah, that was Ron, him in there, wasn't it?
Ron Perlman. And
like, Ron Perlman, why are you in this movie?
And then I realized, you know what? It's Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman has a hilarious scene in that movie now that I think about it. You know, they're running from aliens. Aliens are behind him. He's calling up a ladder, and there's a spider in a web, and he goes, ah, like that.
Yeah,
and
that
he holds the gun, and he shoots at point blank with his gun, the little spider in the web. I thought that was hilarious. That's a one funny moment, Alien 4. Alien 3, though, no funny moments. Screw Alien 3, okay?
Yeah.
I'm getting confused now. I'm calling between movies, but... I think Alien 3 is an abomination, and I'm sorry,
no one
can change my mind about that.
And David Fincher sucks ass.
Well, I don't know about that, but hey,
he's overrated.
I have no response to that.
I really liked Zodiac.
I liked Zodiac too, but I mean, then you look at something like Benjamin Button, and just a rehash of Forrest Gump, and it's all about the special effects.
Right. Hey, he's doing what he's got to do. Get that those big budget movies, you know?
All right, moving on. Next DVD is Friday Night Lights, the third season.
I like that show. Do you guys like that show, too?
That's a good show.
We love the hell out of Friday Night Lights.
One
of the best shows on TV.
As deleted scenes, audio commentary on select episodes, and 13 minutes added into the last episode.
Really?
Ooh. Yeah, I guess they cut 13 minutes from the episode to fit it into the hour time slot.
Oh, no. I thought it was a joke. I'm sorry.
Please let Lila decide to be on the whole season.
Yeah, I know. That's tragic that Lila and Tyra...
Tattoo girl, Jason.
What? What are you talking about? Lila?
Getting tattoos from sexy girls.
Yeah, good times. I love Friday Night Lights. You kind of forget about it because it kind of went away a while back.
Yeah, it goes away for such a long time.
It was on NBC, but we didn't talk about it because we already talked about it.
We already talked about it.
Yeah, we already watched all of it.
It was kind of a bummer. I felt bad for anyone who listens to the show who didn't, wasn't able.
DirecTV.
Yeah, then they were watching it and we weren't talking about it. Sorry.
I could always just go back and listen to the episodes.
Hell yeah, do it. Because we love that show.
We love it. And other things we love are crazy movies like Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus.
It's not funny, Jason.
Wow, so it's got a giant... Oh, it's a giant octopus. I thought
it's a giant shark and a giant octopus, and they fight each other all along the California coast.
If it was a giant squid, how do they do that movie? Are there humans in it, or
I have no idea. But it's one of those
is it like
movies
Jonathan
by
Livingston
the people
Siegel
that make like the Terminators and stuff like that?
That sounds cool.
They're the ones that always do really like I Am Omega, shit like that.
Forget it. That's it.
All right. Next DVD, My Bloody Valentine.
Oh, my
3D
God.
3D on DVD and Blu-ray.
In 3D? On 3D? On the disc? Like, it comes with glasses?
I guess so, yeah.
Now, no one told me who saw... I don't know anyone who saw this, but is there a scene with a heart being boiled with hot dogs?
I have no idea, but it does have Jensen Eccles in it, and he could give a shit about you.
Oh,
Jensen
hell yeah. Eccles. That dude is supernatural, yo.
This is Jensen Eccles. I hate your guts. Stay tuned
What's
for
up,
small,
dirty
yo.
Dogs?
Hey!
Supernatural.
Jensen Eccles, how you doing, buddy?
I'm looking for a little nuance here.
So it's Blu-ray and DVD. So I don't. It doesn't say anything about like glasses or anything like that. Oh yeah,
my Jensen is 12 inches long.
It includes four pairs of 3D glasses.
Wow, four? Nice. Yeah. Hey, gather around, everybody. We got our 3D glasses. You know what's funny is when that Chuck 3D episode aired. Was it after the Super Bowl or the next day?
Yeah.
I couldn't find those damn glasses anywhere. No, I'm so pissed.
There were supposed to be like Pepsi stands
or
and
like
shit.
The Sobe drinking water shit.
Yeah.
I couldn't find them anywhere. It was really pissing me off. I kept that friggin' Chuck episode on my DVR forever looking for them, but they were gone. Just gone.
They're gone, man. They're gone.
Just delete it.
Really sorry. I deleted it. I don't still have it. Yeah. You know, Bill, I'm so pissed that I had the theme to Dollhouse for us to sing along to before we talked about it, and I forgot all about it.
Damn it.
The last couple of weeks, you would go, do 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 do.
La, 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 la.
Yeah, let's just... And then the ending.
Tinky, 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 tinky.
Ah, yes. Love that Eliza Dushku.
She stinks like ass, but I'll sure miss her.
Wow, okay.
Nice.
I didn't know that about her, but I'll miss her too. Wow.
Oh. That has
Look who's
to
talking, Denim Dan.
All right, next DVD, the best of the week, Outlander.
Oh, yeah!
More wind!
This is the Jim Caviezel is a spaceman who comes to Earth in the time of the Vikings to battle this evil alien creature that is basically Beowulf, right?
Yeah.
And the movie kicks ass. It's a lot of fun.
It's so awesome.
It's really cool. They didn't have much of a budget. They made the best of it.
They totally did. And I was genuinely impressed with a lot of the effects, and it's just a fun movie.
They did not skimp on the creature effects. The creature's badass.
The design of it and everything is just awesome. The way it glows.
Steven, you look a little skeptical, but trust me.
I believe you.
The movie is kick ass. I'm so sad that it's
Oh, it doesn't sound like that. It's not Cloverfield.
To buy list.
Definitely. Now, Bill, you and I kind of complained last week about it not being on Blu-ray, right?
Yeah.
But did somebody post in the forum that it was...
It's available on Blu-ray in, like, France, but if you watch it in English, it's got forced French subtitles.
Yay.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
The creature in the Morwenn is so smart. They give it such personality that it can outsmart you. What's so cool about it. How many movies have you seen it where they give the monster a flashback and he almost has a reason to be the way he is?
I get very, very pumped up about this movie. And so does Muttley. I really want this on Blu-ray badly. So hopefully somewhere in the world it'll be released without forced subtitles.
It may even Xbox Live watch it in 720p at least.
Oh, I'll have to check and see if it goes up on there.
It might. They've done that before.
If it does, I'm totally there.
Me too, because I just want to crank that shit, man.
Yeah.
Yo.
Yo!
Right, Steven?
Yo.
Speaking of cranking that shit, Paul Blart, Mall Cop.
Nothing a few beers can't fix, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure it's hilarious.
I heard it's funny from people who I don't care about their opinion.
Hey,
Jim and Sally from down the road, they said that was really funny. Well, those people are squares. But
those
I gotta tell you,
didn't like...
I've admitted a long time ago that I enjoyed The King of Queens.
I'll never understand that one.
I could sit and watch The King of Queens and just like...
That's one of those shows that I can only watch for about 5 minutes before I get annoyed.
I'm heading under the Queensboro Bridge tonight. I'm trying to...
I'm headed home to you.
Yeah, something like that. Leah Remini. Remini, whatever. She's one hot Scientologist.
Yes, she really works that clay table.
At least she was at one time. She was a hot...
She was at one point. You know what, though? She had a moment...
The rumor that she's
like,
a Scientologist.
She had like a moment, middle age, where she was attractive. Because when she was on Saved by the Bell... She was a little fugly.
Like she got hot?
Yeah, it's like she got hot as she got older.
She gained like this kind of confidence, you know?
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
Wait a second. She wasn't hot till she became a Scientologist.
Maybe that's exactly what it was. Maybe Elrond freed her hotness.
Yeah, the ugly got e-metered out of her.
Yeah.
Xenu.
No, not Xenu. The E-meter. Electropsychometer, right? Isn't that what it's called?
Yes.
An electropsychometer.
Yes, thank you. Okay. So that's interesting theory we got going on there.
Yeah, so Paul Blart Mall Cop, DVD and Blu-ray.
I'm not even going to dignify myself with a response to that.
All right, for you losers that didn't import Terminator 2 Judgment Day on HD DVD... You're finally getting the better remastered edition on Blu-ray this week.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, is this the theatrical cut or the extended cut?
I believe it's both.
And is it in true HD?
Yeah, it's DTS HD 6.1. It's basically the exact same transfer that we have, except it's got the seamless branching of the theatrical and the director's cut.
My Johnson is 12 inches long.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I prefer the director's cut anyways. So.
No, that's one of the films I do. I honestly got to say, I was talking about like Aliens earlier. The extended cut's really cool, but I prefer the theatrical version. Some people think I'm nuts because it's got the smart guns and all that, but I almost think the movie's too long. Now, The Abyss, the only thing you can watch is the extended cut. The theatrical cut... is a completely different movie.
The theatrical cut is an abomination. Yeah. When you see the special edition of The Abyss, you're just like, now that's a movie.
All of the weight of the ending is robbed from the theatrical version.
Yeah, it's very, very weak.
It doesn't make any sense why James Cameron did that.
Chill out.
Well, I think it was Fox. It wasn't him.
Well, no, he edited the film. He had control over it. But I have a feeling they gave him shit about the running time. He's like, I'm not going to cut this shit down. I'm just going to take a big chunk out of the ending, and I'm done.
It probably had the exact same thing to do with Aliens. They gave him shit about the running time because it had to be under, like, 2.5 hours or something, or and 2 hours and 40 minutes.
You know,
so they could get the amount of screenings in.
These films, back in the day, you know, now we live in an era of DVD where, hey, I'm going to look at the deleted scenes, and you look through them, it's like, Back in this day, when you got that extended cut of Aliens and you got to see that extra shit, it was just like, oh my God, this shit is awesome. All of the scenes were gold. It was like, why wasn't this in the movie? It was the same way with T2, the stuff with T-1000 malfunctioning. It's like, what the hell? Why didn't they leave this in the movie? It's awesome. But, you know, James Cameron thought it might be confusing for audiences, maybe. And there's a whole part with resetting the Terminator's chip. Remember, they took out the chip. Yeah. All that thing.
And they almost went to smash it, and they stopped.
Yeah, all of that is out of the theatrical version, but it's so much, it's so cool with it. And those are the reasons you have extended cuts, not like extended cuts of, you know, Harold Butterfly Kumar effect or some horse shit like that. It's like, nobody cares because they didn't live with the film long enough to wonder what was once in the movie, you know? Yeah. We get it all now, and it's not even interesting.
Oh, man, C. Dittmer in the chat room says that supposedly the new T2 Blu-ray doesn't even look as good as the previous Blu-ray, which was lambasted for being shitty.
Oh, my
this
God.
One has too much DNR on Holy it, too much that, digital noise reduction.
That sucks.
Yeah, so if you want a nice version of the film, get the HD DVD from the UK or from France.
It does look gorgeous.
Yeah, it does. Sounds great, too.
Dipshit.
Hey,
yeah.
Little John Connor, watch your language.
Moi, dipshit?
You're calling moi, dipshit, you jock douchebag? Awesome. Now, before we move on to another subject.
Knives and stabbing weapons.
Yes, thank
yes,
you.
Excellent. There
All
we
right.
go.
Now we can move on.
Perfect. And moving on, DVD and Blu-ray, True Blood, the complete first season.
Great show. Loved it. Loved season one. And as I admitted to Bill, became kind of a fan of the books, too.
Yes, you became almost possessed.
The way that the writer, Charlene Harris, writes it is all in first person. So it's Sookie's telling you the story. So as any of the characters, like her brother Jason or Tara or Sam, the bartender, you never see those characters unless she interacts with them. So the genius thing about the show, Alan Ball can cut over to those characters because they're not being told first person. So it can add so much to this book, you know, the storyline in the book. Mm-hmm. He could flesh it out and make it such a bigger story. It's really perfect to adapt, I think. It's really cool. And
that's cool.
There's times when reading it where I'm like, this is getting romance novel territory. And I'm
yeah, like Harlequin.
Like all of a sudden, slowly putting your hand down and caressing. And I'm like, dude, this is for chicks, man. What am I reading this? Or
how do I have excitement?
What? Yeah. I don't.
I feel
no,
weird.
I am honest. It's just me reading the book. I'm sitting
in my pants.
No, I'm telling you. I'm sitting there. I'm reading the book, and I'm embarrassed. Because it's so, because no,
I would pay money to see you go all red faced.
Listen
while
to me. This is why. This is porn for women. It's all cerebral. Guys aren't like that. It's just like, what? Come on. It's kind of silly or whatever.
As he caressed her neck with his hands.
But you know, I gotta love that Sookie Stackhouse.
He stinks like ass, but I'll sure miss her.
Now stop it, Farva. Okay, that's just not right.
What are you talking about, man?
And last DVD and Blu-ray, I believe. Tom Cruise in Valkyrie.
Yes, Valkyrie.
They all speak with English accents except for Tom Cruise.
Hey, the guy's... Hey, it's like me. I don't have a Texas accent. He didn't
What's
get an
so
accent.
What's so funny about the movie is it starts off with Tom Cruise speaking German as he's writing in his diary. And then halfway through, like, that scene, it turns into English.
What do you mean
by that? It's like an ease into it. Like, oh, he's speaking German. oh, now he's speaking English. I must have put that German to English chip in my head.
You were egging me on.
I got the Star Trek implant that translates.
Yeah. But I was just saying maybe he was born without an accent. They could have done that.
Yeah.
But we're just scientists.
Klaus, Colonel Klaus von Stauffenberg.
Do you remember that in Run Ronnie Run?
Yeah.
He's like, I was born without an accent. Oh. He just immediately burst into tears.
That's great.
I notice sometimes you lose your accent. Awesome.
So I didn't really particularly like the movie, but there's certainly nothing wrong with it. It's very competently directed. It looks good.
Okay. So I liked it.
I guess so, yeah.
I'm curious about it, but, you know.
It's worth a rental.
Can I just say this? You guys know I love Bruce Campbell, right? I love Army of Darkness, love Evil Dead,
yeah.
Briscoe County. He's great on Burn Notice. But sometimes when you mail in a movie to Netflix, you don't pay it. You don't. A lot of times I'll go to Netflix and go, oh, I'm going to make sure I get this movie next. Well, I didn't do that. And I got My Name is Bruce on Blu-ray. Bruce
Man,
Campbell's,
is that movie bad.
It is not just bad. It is awful.
It is atrociously bad.
Nothing feels right. It feels like, could you have maybe done another take on this? It's not even so bad it's funny. It's just awkward. It doesn't work. And I don't even understand Bruce Campbell. He's so great. He comes off. He doesn't come off like he's doing anything. He's got no charisma or personality or anything. It's almost, you know, he's directing it. Maybe he shouldn't have directed it. I don't know, but it's not good. And it's not
the
funny.
Trailer's better than the movie
and not
could
only this,
ever be.
All of the actors can't act in it.
No.
Except for, you know, Bruce Campbell. He's not good, but I believe he can act. Ted Raimi tries to save the movie.
Yeah, he's like four different characters.
But they have
And how they cut to those guys singing the horrible Juan D song.
I was thinking, is this supposed to be some kind of like Coen Brothers kind of nuance here with the guys?
Yeah.
But it doesn't come off that way. It's a disaster. It's a total freaking disaster.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And I felt bad about it. It's like, I love you, Bruce, but God, this blows. There's funny line where the one friend is picking on the other guy about his love for Bruce Campbell. It's not normal. And he's making fun of all these shitty movies he did, like Moon Warp and every. And he goes, oh, Bubba Hotep. Oh, I kind of like that. And he goes, everyone liked Bubba Hotep. And that's true.
Yeah. But that's it. I mean, that's it's so bad.
It really is, Steven. You don't believe me yet, do you? Steven.
I'll have to watch it.
I did laugh at Ted Raimi's old Asian guy.
I think that Ted Raimi tries to save the movie. He's not bad in it.
Yeah, and I also laughed at the Juan D being the protector of bean curd. that did make me laugh. He wouldn't kill you if you had bean curd, but if you didn't, your head was gone.
When he's working on the set of the movie, he's a total tool to people. Like, he tells the prop guy to go get him some lemon drink. Why is he getting this lemon drink? The guy's like, I'll fix him. And he goes around the corner and he holds it right here. So, you know, he's peeing. He hands the bottle of urine to Bruce Campbell, and Bruce Campbell opens it and he drinks it and goes, this is warm. Ah, but it sure is delicious, and he keeps drinking it. And it's like, that's not a funny joke.
No, it's not.
He's drinking piss.
Yeah, it's. I was so glad that I took it off my Netflix queue and watched it on Netflix.
I still feel bad about talking about it, but it's so bad. It's Alien Apocalypse bad.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, no. It absolutely is. It's like somebody shot it in their backyard.
I love Bruce, though. I already said it. He knows I love him, right? But it's just not good.
Yes, he personally knows you love him. Wow.
The 12-gauge double-barreled Remington.
Come get some.
Nice.
All right, and that's DVDs for this week.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs. I'm really excited about all of those.
Except.
No, I'm excited.
We should have taken him out the back and shot him a long time ago.
Oh, dear.
Thank you. Good night.
here all week. Try the veal. And scene.
Everybody, that was episode 164 of Nowhere in Mulberry, your live internet radio show. Yeah, why not? That's what we are.
Broadcasting around the world.
On Ustream.
We want to.
Even on the Lost Island, you could listen to us, I think. If they,
we got
internet
fans
there.
In Australia and Scotland and Ireland and the Philippines.
Yeah, Bill, you say that, but how many people even mentioned last week's show or forum or anywhere?
Yeah, that's true.
No, I know
it's
why.
It's so funny how after – it's like you wait all week for the feedback, and then you get one or two like, hey, it was good. Hey, this was good. This was funny. And then you get Swiley's feedback, and it's like, yes. And then
yeah, it's very detailed.
Dead. Dead. Nothing.
Yeah.
That's it. After Swiley, it's like, oh, well, I guess he covered it all.
But I know why. It's because 5 days of the Saloon. Nobody's listened to our show yet because they're getting all this Hollywood Saloon.
Yeah, so, they need their Jansen fix.
So maybe next week we'll get some more. I don't know. But, you know, I'm going to release this enhanced podcast, see what people think of that. I don't know. It's going to be a big pain in the ass. But hey, if you skip over the intro, don't tell me about it because it just annoys me, all right?
Yeah, because you work hard on that shit.
Yeah, it just makes me want to hit things.
And if you skip the commercial breaks, I'll come to your house.
Damn it!
Kick your ass.
No, I could understand if you're excited and skip to the Star Trek talk or the Lost talk, but you need to go back. You know, one thing I have done before while listening to a podcast or even listening back to our show, I accidentally hit it, bump it, and it goes back to the beginning. And I'm like, ah! You can lock it, but I don't always do that. Like, sometimes I'll listen in bed and I'll throw the player in the bed. And then I go, and it started over. And I was like all the way up to the DVDs or something. And I get so annoyed. So maybe the Enhanced Podcast is for me. So I'm doing it just for myself. I don't know.
It'll help you out.
Yes. Now, if you'd like to leave us a voicemail, call 1-206-202-3491. Send us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. Go to nowhereinmulberry.com. You can find a link to our forum and find a link to Nowhere in Mulberry Facebook. And you'll find me, Bill, and Steven on there also. Become our friend. We'll send you a fictional item. Huh?
Okay. Nice.
Help me think of some other fictional items. I thought of one, but it was kind of lame, is the Ronin case.
We need to put the DL-44 on there.
Oh, it's already on there.
Oh, it is? I didn't know you put it on there.
Hell yeah, it's in there. I even put, did you see the Genesis device?
Nice.
From Star Trek. Just
what about the Lancer from Gears of War? Would that count?
Well, it's film and TV, so
oh, okay.
I didn't think of that, but what the hell, why not? I almost thought of James Bond stuff, too, but I was like, no, that's been covered in the James Bond GIF, so I won't go there.
Yeah.
But I was thinking of movies where someone's after something. Give me the so-and-so.
Oh! You gotta put the CD shooter for my coming piece.
Definitely. Or the space gun. Bring the space gun.
Yeah, the space gun.
I love that movie.
Is there even a picture for a phase rifle 40 watt range? Plasma phase rifle 40 watt range?
That I don't know. That would be awesome.
I don't think
though.
So. Because Arnold sunglasses. Just mentions it. Like
a Terminator skull, endoskeleton skull or something.
Maybe. You know, I canceled my order for the T2 endoskeleton skull thing.
Aww.
I couldn't justify $150.
Yeah, it's really cool, but it's like,
well, it's like I already have it on HD DVD. I don't need it in high def. I already have every standard edition that they're including in with it, like the extreme edition and all that stuff. So I'd be paying $150 for a piece of shit endoskeleton skull.
It's almost like back in the day, maybe when I was a teenager working at Six Flags, it's something just blow your entire paycheck on, because it didn't matter. You're still going to eat because, you know, you live at home, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But now these days, it's like, I can't do it.
I can't do
it. Can't do it, Sully.
I've got to pay my electricity.
Yeah. So here's the deal. Next week is Memorial Day, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do a show next Friday. I have no idea, honestly. So I'm going to leave that hanging in the air, maybe or maybe not. It'll suck to wait 2 weeks to talk about the incredible conclusion to 24.
Yeah, that's going to be really tough.
But we have covered every season finale in pretty good detail, I'm thinking. Yeah. We covered the shit out of Lost, I think.
Yeah.
There might be little things that we missed, but that's okay. It was kick-ass.
We covered what was important.
Fringe and Lost, I think, batted 100. Or whatever's good in baseball. I don't pay attention to baseball.
Yeah, I'm not a baseball fan.
They batted 1,000. That's it. Batting 1,000.
Yeah.
That's right. Steven, why are you laughing at me? Huh?
Because I was trying to think what it was, too.
I'm not even going to dignify myself with a response to that.
We're such big sports fans here. You know?
If it's hockey or something, hat trick.
Yeah, I watch hockey and I watch football.
Went five-hole cookie jar.
Too boring.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I know some people who are into baseball. Here's what it's all about. Baseball is about stats. Keeping stats. Paying attention to stats.
And I could give a shit about stats.
So if you're into stats, you probably like that. I got nothing. I just keep talking, Steven. Why do I do that?
Well, let's try to break that 3-hour and 30-minute mark.
Yeah. Last time that we did over a 3-hour show, I broke propaganda, the editing software.
I know. It's like, split the file.
Does not compute. No, but seriously, guys, we'll be back when we're back. We hope you like the show. Hope you like the enhanced version and all that. Hope you dug all the shows we talked about. Thank you for listening. We'll see you when we come back, everybody. Goodbye.
I'm not even going to dignify myself with a response to that.
Sorry.
I'll see you now or see you later. See you when I see you.
Now that's a good one. See you when I see you.
Yeah, you need a fictional item. It's the little Joe Banana, the banana character.
Johnny Chimpo?
Yeah, Johnny Chimpo. Johnny.
No response to that.
Now this is podcasting.
Polka? I hardly even know her.
That's tasteless, disgusting, and offensive. I like it.